Hey, everybody, welcome to all new, all different Pittsburgh Comics number one. We hit 200 last week, and I figured it was time for a change. So we've changed the location of the podcast. We're now recording in the podcast studio.
But fear not, listeners, we'll be picking up exactly where we left off.
Yes, with a few changes going on. So
we've
changed our
tacos.
Well, yeah, Josh and I are on a taco high right now, so just to warn you, what we say may not make sense.
Does it ever?
That's different
now. Yeah, and this is the special Christmas Eve episode of the Pittsburgh Comics Podcast, being we're recording it on the 23rd, and you will be able to listen to it on the 24th. Hopefully, as long as I can get it mixed tomorrow. Mixed.
Yeah, come on.
Sorry. So, as long as I can get
mixed
the music.
Master McMahon over
as
here.
As long as I can put the music at the front and the back, and then the process of just getting it uploaded. Because I don't know, hopefully I'll be busy tomorrow. I'll be slammed.
But so 4 o'clock?
You'll be slammed?
I'll be slammed.
He'll be slammed.
Well,
Dave
yeah, you're right.
Slammed.
Dave will be slammed.
Santa Claus.
But
how's Hermie doing anyway? Did he get all the toys this year? How's his dentistry package
doing?
He's doing
fine, yeah. Elves have some nice benefits up there now. Yeah.
What about the Bumble? How'd that ever work out as an employee?
He bought a comic book shop.
Now, the worst I've ever called you was Baymax. Come on.
The Bumble's a badass.
Bumble's bounce.
Okay. Okay. He doesn't even know who he is now. That was Colin McMahon who's not talking.
No, no, I know who I am. I'm just like, you guys run with it. You know, I don't want to say anything. Get slammed some more. Jeez. But I will be here Thursday. The goal is to be here till 4 or 5. I don't want to commit to 5, but basically the family picks me up on their way to the in-laws. So, so I will be open Thursday. A lot of people have asked. I'll put that on the website, too. That'd be a good idea. Huh?
What are your hours on Friday?
Friday, my hours are none, because I will not be here.
No, you still have hours.
Well, yeah.
This won't be open.
Correct. Yeah. I'll be sledding and playing in the snow.
You're going to Alaska?
Yeah. I can't believe it was, what, 67 today?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I heard, isn't Texas supposed to get snow?
Are they?
I think so. Or
I thought I heard that, too.
Yeah. So Texas is going to have snow for Christmas.
Snow? We have 70 degrees.
It's
going to
be 70
Christmas.
Degrees here, yeah.
I don't know. So, we have a little cast change. Some people didn't come, and somebody did. So, that's why we're all new, all different. It's like we have a new anchor, basically, and it's all new, all different.
Is this a point one episode, though?
No, because no one can speak Spanish. Otherwise, it'd
it would have been point one, but it would have had to have been all in Spanish.
201 point taco.
Yes.
We need some chimichangas for this one.
Yes. Oh, she let us down.
Let me call my wife.
Yeah, call her up.
Let me get my wife back.
Call
here.
Her up. We need chimichangas. Now! What, Adele's in bed? No!
Debbie, chimichangas! Now!
Ahora.
Get a replicator here.
Replicator? Okay.
To go with all the other Star Trek technology you have here in the store.
He has a tricorder over there. He has phasers. He has several starships.
Yeah? I wasn't being sarcastic with all the other Star Trek technology he has.
I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dan.
Dave.
Pat.
Josh.
Notice two are missing. We don't know what happened. It could have been a bear incident. I don't know.
Bumble incident.
A what?
A bumble incident.
A bumble incident. Or a wampa. No, not... Yeah, it was a wampa.
Or a wampa.
Yeah, I can believe that.
It wouldn't take more than a womp rat.
Yeah. Womp rat. So.
Adam was taken away by a Minoc. It was horrible.
All these Star Trek references, I can't keep up. So, Pat, was there any news?
Yeah, a couple things. Let's see, where to begin? Bruce Wayne apparently is going to be back in Batman in the cape and cowl in issue 50. So,
big thing in previews for that. This big splash page saying, they're back!
Yeah.
Is there in the new previews?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is there?
Okay. I haven't looked at it yet. The order's due Sunday, so if there's anything you want, let me know by Sunday.
The first page of the DC
there
section.
There we go.
They're back.
Yay! Yep. Where's his pants?
It said they're back, not they're wearing pants.
I wish Superman had his... Underwear on the outside again.
You do?
Yeah. It's classic. It's iconic.
Stupid.
It's iconic.
It's stupid. There's nothing wrong with making the outfit look more contemporary.
Not only that, then doesn't that mean he either has to wear two pair of drawers or he's going commando?
No one complains about Batman not wearing his trunks on the outside anymore.
I'm just saying, but he did that for so long. It's a look. That's all.
Well, yeah, it's a look. It doesn't mean it's a good look.
Okay.
I'm just surprised that because we talked about this before. I didn't realize you actually were a fan of that.
Just a traditionalist.
Draws on the outside. I'm with you. I like the more updated, modern.
I think, and I'm sorry for saying it's stupid. I heard three people like getting so up used in arms.
Oh, I'm not up in arms, but
no, not you. But like, people when New 52 started, people were up in arms over the lack of trunks, and it's gone on for years. And I just can't wrap my head around why people care that there's no trunks.
People must really just want to see Superman's underwear for some reason.
I do like on this, they have him from Lois and Clark, too.
Yep. Because they meet.
Do they?
Supposedly.
Ooh. So, they share their powers.
For good.
Well, I would hope. Rumor has it, and I'll leave it at rumor at this point, but DC is going to have some books starting to ship bi-weekly.
Yeah, you know, and I was talking to somebody about that today. I understand. I'm not a big fan, but, I mean, it's not like Marvel doesn't do it. We're already through four issues, or I think issue five of Spider-Man ships next week, and we're only, you know, 3 months in.
I just can't picture which books they would
they're
do
big selling ones.
I hate this rumor.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I think it's going to further hurt their slower selling books, their lower tier books.
It is. It's gonna alienate them because if someone's not going to drop Batman if they're a Batman fan.
Right.
But they'll drop something like Bizarro.
Yeah,
or Grayson.
If it were Quinn or...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so I don't think there's going to be a net positive result. But I understand it just in the sense of Warner Brother going, okay, you need to increase your sales by 20... You know, we need a dollar increase of 20%. Well, adding a new whatever book, you know, Omega Men... Prez type book isn't, you know, the effort it's going to take to do that through that other than, oh, or we could ship two issues of Batman a month, two issues of Justice League a month. So I can see that dollar and cents. But yeah, not a big fan. I mean, I'd love to sell two issues of Batman a month.
Yeah, it'll build their market share, build over their audience.
The quality is there, but look at what happened with Marvel. A lot of their books now are double shipping. The quality's not there, and that's why they can't sustain a fan
base.
And
how many of those books that come out on an irregular basis have a regular artist? They have a regular writer, but you don't know who the artist is.
Right, so take Batman, and Capullo's leaving Batman anyway. So
temporarily.
That's what they said, but now it's starting to sound like more. I'm not sure. I was following him on
he's gonna go past
on 50. Twitter, and he basically said, well, I'll still be doing covers. And I was like, well, the covers just for that period? I couldn't find a better answer.
He's doing covers while he's gone.
Okay.
But they've still said he's going to come back onto Batman.
Okay.
At least temporarily, then he and Snyder are doing something else DC related.
Okay.
Is Sean Murphy replacing Capullo?
We don't know
yet. There's been rumors, but now it sounds like that Murphy and Snyder might be doing something different Batman related. So not the main Batman book.
Okay.
Detective, maybe?
A miniseries.
Yeah. Or maybe Johns doesn't have time to do the next Earth One and they're going to do it. Who knows?
Yeah, could be. ABC is apparently going to do a Captain America 75th anniversary special, which...
I hope they show the older Captain America movie with Red Skull.
It doesn't exist. It never happened. Marvel Studios didn't do it. It didn't happen.
I want to see that. I want to see the Nick Fury movie.
I have that here somewhere.
Yeah, with David Hasselhoff. and the Dolph Lundgren Punisher. I don't know. I understand why ABC is doing it. Obviously, their corporate masters are making them, but it just seems like a weird thing to do. And a couple other TV things. Apparently, the girl that voiced Vixen in the Vixen cartoon is going to be on Arrow as Vixen.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we're going to bring her into the live action.
I'd love it if they did, like, Roger Rabbit style and she was still a cartoon.
I feel like the penguins and Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah,
apparently Josh has a Jessica Rabbit thing. Okay, who knew?
I said Roger Rabbit. I have a Roger Rabbit thing.
Well, we know how you feel about rabbits.
That didn't come out right at all, sir.
He likes playing patty cake.
I don't know what he likes. No.
The movie starred the late, great Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, that's
poor
true.
Poor Debbie. Poor Debbie.
That's true. There's going to be white Martians, apparently, on
Supergirl. Wow.
I obviously missed an insult here.
In one tiny comment, he got me back for so much.
Well played. I'll have to listen to this and go back and
see if she brings you tacos anymore.
Moving on. Yep. And finally, Ra's al Ghul will end up being on Legends of Tomorrow. So the one, not Merlin, but the one that was on Arrow before.
Okay.
So whether that's because of time travel,
right? That one has to be. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have to be. There is a Lazarus Pit.
Well, okay. But you also have Vandal Savage being on it. So.
Yeah.
Last I checked, he was Dust.
Who's a better Roz? Liam Neeson, that guy, or Merlin?
I like that guy.
Yeah, I do too. I mean...
We're so specific. That's pretty good, huh?
I believe
that guy?
Yeah, you know that guy?
I know that name is.
Yeah, that guy.
I knew right away who you were talking
about. Yeah, I did too. It, Liam Neeson, I like, but... I just...
He's better with kidnappers.
Yeah.
I like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Albanian kidnappers? Yeah. No problem. But.
I like Liam Neeson in that role a lot, but that version didn't have the supernatural feeling to it, like the...
No, it didn't at
all. Like that guy.
No.
Did. That guy definitely had, like, the, you know, the badass part plus, the, like, the mystical aspect.
I almost think that's unfair, though, because the Nolan movies tried to stay very grounded.
Yeah, so maybe by design, then Neeson isn't quite... I like them both better than Merlin is.
Yeah, because he's still Merlin.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, now he has an army.
Mm-hmm. So. He doesn't feel like... Like Roz or Raish or say.
Yeah, Adam would be mad at you.
No, Roz.
He's not here.
He's not here to defend himself.
Or defend Raish.
Yeah.
That's all I got for news.
That's all you
Looking
got?
Looking through the previews that just came out today, I hate these Batman versus Superman variant covers.
Are they actually showing the covers or are they
just... No, it's just the cover of the bag.
Oh.
That's just the bag cover.
Oh, I thought it was the
And then inside, they're doing the three different versions. Yeah, no, because there's the variant, like this one's Raphael Grandpa.
I was thinking this was the actual cover.
No, that's the cover of the bag.
Never mind, I take
that's
back.
That's the bag.
I take back what I just said.
Okay, good.
Rewind.
Okay.
But don't rewind too far. You'll hear what I said.
You're so proud of yourself right now.
I know.
You're like, I got one.
I got one of them back. Yes.
Small victories.
Now I'm just going to get pet.
And there were no bad words. Sorry.
That's the hard part is, how to respond without vulgarity.
There you go. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, since it's still festive.
It was one word.
Since it's still festive, as Colin.
Yes.
We know you have the grievances.
I have no grievances. No, it's everything's
good. It is a Christmas miracle.
It's a Christmas miracle. No, it's been... I haven't checked my numbers. I'm not sure how I'm doing compared to last December, but...
Well, that would be a grievance.
It's... No, everything's good. Down for the year, but other than that...
How was today? Today
was good.
Before Christmas?
It's always hard to tell, because, like, last year, Wednesday was Christmas Eve, so it was an abbreviated day. It was a good day, but it also... Was it the last day before Christmas, or was it Wednesday? Well, no, it was the following week was the skip week.
Oh, that's right.
So,
There wasn't a whole lot that came out last year, either. I think... Batman Eternal came out, and there was only...
Oh, in the skit. Well, that was the week after.
No, I think even... I don't remember even Christmas Eve. There
was only
a couple
things that came out.
Because normally... No, normally that's the skip
week,
which is in between, because they couldn't ship.
The first issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out.
Yeah, but I think that was the week after last year.
Okay.
The first issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. came out a couple weeks ago. What are you talking about?
my bad. Sorry,
hey, look, that
bad.
Was their only second new no, number actually, one this year.
No,
so.
That did that come out? The new number one didn't come out
I don't
yet,
think
did
that,
it?
No, I don't think it did.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
They want to at least
I get you.
I was just making a joke of Marvel.
You can say every 6 months you can say that. So I don't know. And then I was looking 2 years ago. Christmas was on a Wednesday, so it's just last 2 years really messed things up. So this is just kind of a normal week where I just won't be here on Friday. You know, it's not a huge thing. But it was busy today. Although it was funny because it was busy until about 5, and then it really died. And that's when everybody came. It's like, oh, it's been like this all day. I'm like, no, it's been slammed all day.
No, I came around.
Some little kid was running around throwing his lightsaber, breaking off pieces, putting it back together.
This is my second time here tonight.
Yeah, Dan's been here twice. I invited him back. He's like, oh, you guys are going to talk about Star Wars. I said, probably. I think that's a safe bet. I know everybody's seen it, except I didn't know if Dave had. But
Dave,
I knew these two had. Okay. I knew Adam hadn't. He was going to go step outside. Maybe that's why he didn't come back.
He's outside right now waiting for us to finish.
We're not going to tell him when we're finished.
So what do we? So we have the. Do we want to save Star Wars to the end so people can listen through if they hadn't seen it?
Yeah, I think that's the way to
but
do
I also
it.
Don't want to make Dan have to sit here.
He said he had a hall pass.
Oh, you had a hall pass?
I got a hall pass.
Okay. Well, yeah, okay.
Because that way we can say, now we're going to talk about it. Here's
right.
Spoilers.
You can turn it off if you haven't already. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, why not?
I mean, we could do it now, but then you'd have to put in the time stamps.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Okay. So books. We'll start...
Do we have any questions?
Oh, no, there were no questions other than things wanting to sell me Viagra and Best Buy coupons. So, no, we started getting spam on the special email Josh set up for questions. So it was just kind of funny.
You knew you made it when you started getting spam.
Yeah. Well, I was excited because I'm like, oh, a podcast question. And then I clicked on it and it was like, oh, no, it's not. And then I got another one. Let's see if we got any more. Technology.
Somebody really wants to sell you Viagra.
No, they were two different ones, but it clearly was spam. No new ones. Sorry. Oh, let me check Twitter.
What about Prince Nahasapim of Nigeria?
No. Unique Pizza followed me on Twitter, though. But no Twitter messages.
I don't know where Unique Pizza is, so...
There's one near us on Library Road.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of it, so I didn't know if it was a local thing or not.
I have no idea. It just, that was the only thing that popped up in my new... books. Yes. Dave. We'll start with Dave so that Santa can go do his preparations.
Dave.
All right. It's 2 days before Christmas. I'll start with Claus number 2.
Was it as good as number 1? Did it continue the...
This was mostly... Yeah, it was very good. This was mostly an action issue because it shows Claus...
having another hallucinogenic drug trip?
No. Well, it is Grant Morrison.
There wasn't any more of that.
Kinda...
No, there wasn't any more of the hallucinogenics. But Claus sneaks into town to deliver all the toys. And so all the kids are playing with him in the town square until the Baron finds out and gets mad. So, I mean, it looks just like Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yeah, he's like the Burgermeister amped up to 11.
I'm Grant Morrison just had to be influenced by that.
Yeah.
But
Jessica is the teacher and she becomes his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
Jessica Rabbit. What? I'm all confused.
Not Jessica Rabbit.
Okay, I'm sorry, Josh. It wasn't Jessica Rabbit.
But the art's I really like the art.
We established that like Roger, didn't we?
All he knows that long ears, he's all out. Dave's going to throw the mic at us.
Colin started that, though, Dave.
No, I really like the art in this book. There's a great drawing of Claus jumping off the side of the wall with a sack of toys on his back and, you know, the rope flapping in the wind and, like, he's Indiana Jones or something. So
I'm almost surprised he doesn't have, like, a black van with the red stripe going down it.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
I know.
18
van.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah. Montage of him, like, building enhancements for it.
Oh, they got to do that with when he gets his elves and have the hand montage building all that.
And they have to drug him to get in a sleigh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the great 80s song playing in the background.
I ain't getting on no sleigh, Hannibal. Man, this stuff just writes itself.
It is.
Why don't we have jobs as writers?
Because we
Josh
suck.
Thinks he could write Star Wars.
Whoa.
We'll get to that.
I never said that. Cool your jets. This is more incendiary than the Stan Lee stuff.
Ooh.
This has a more passionate fan base, I think, than
Yeah,
than
I think
Stan
that's
Lee.
True.
You're going to get me killed. Keep going, Dave.
Okay.
Ignore the bumble.
Huck number two.
I heard that was really good.
It's very good. In this issue, all the reporters have come to Huck's house, and they're all lined up outside. So Huck finally decides to go outside and meet with them, and they're all telling him, you know, I have a brother, I have a deadbeat husband, he's out there somewhere. Please find him. I have a brother in Afghanistan. Who's lost? Please, who's been captured? Please find him. Did you read this column?
I didn't read the second one. No.
Okay.
No.
See, I thought Huck was Huck Finn. So when he said Afghanistan, I just realized this book is not what I think it is.
Oh, you don't know the premise of this book?
No.
Dave, why don't you give us a quick synopsis of what this book
is? Well, Huck is—he's just a—he's
simple.
Regular simpleton kind. You know,
Simple Jack.
But he works at a gas station, and he is like the secret superhero of this town, and he does things.
He was like dropped off at the church doorstep and adopted by a family.
Like if Clark Kent was Simple Jack and never went off to the Daily Planet and just stayed in the town.
He'll do big things like...
Now that's a book that would write itself.
He'll get a cat out of a tree or...
He's the good-natured guy helping out around town. Like one day, he does a good deed every day. One day it was take out everybody's garbage. One day it was going to be cut all the old people's lawns. He finds things for people.
Is he super fast so he can mow everybody's lawn in an hour?
I don't know if he's fast, but he's strong. Like one thing was their dump is at the bottom of the lake, and this one lady couldn't find her bracelet, and he went down to the bottom to get it. But he obviously didn't need to breathe. So.
Okay. Everybody in town there keeps his secret.
Right.
But they know.
They don't want any
outsiders.
It's like Fight Club. You don't talk about
and
it.
And then at the end of the first issue, all of a sudden the news media was outside his door.
Okay.
Yes.
Because this new reporter showed up in town out of the blue, which wasn't really explained in the first issue why she came there.
So Huck's writing everything down, and he decides to go after this, to find this husband who is cheating on his wife. And the cameras follow him along to like the next town over, next state over, and Huck's, you know, jumping on cars to get there, and shows up at the guy's doorway, and there's cameras there too, and the guy's like, this is slightly embarrassing as is, and then it ends with some good cliffhangers with a guy's watching the coverage of Huck on television in North Carolina. He has a big bushy beard, and he says, "That's my brother." So this
his name's Sawyer,
probably
from Lost.
Sure.
So is it setting it up that like Omis, maybe his brother could have a,
I don't know,
power set?
Yeah, it could be anything. At this point, it's just like the one big panel at the end. You know, says that's my brother up there.
As long as it doesn't pull an Invincible, or he like shakes his hand, call me Mr. Glass.
Okay.
Nothing has ever made me more angry to movie
than the comic
that.
Invincible.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
No. Or Unbreakable. Yeah.
Unbreakable. Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't like that?
I love that movie up to that point, and this still makes my wife laugh to this day. I lost it at that. I'm like, this is bullshit. I was like throwing stuff. I'm like, this movie was great up until then. It just made no sense. I don't know. Weird quirk.
Now, I really like these two books, Claus and Huck. And they seem to have similar themes about these very earnest heroes. And you do good.
Well, it doesn't get more earnest than Santa Claus.
No, well, that's the truth. You don't have to tell me that.
Obviously.
but they're very enjoyable. Okay, next book we'll talk about the Darth Vader Annual number one.
I read that.
Let me read that.
So I got two thoughts. I like the story itself.
Okay.
This
doesn't have anything to do with Vader down. This is
that's my problem.
Yeah, and that was my concern with it. Was like it's. I don't have a problem with them bringing out an annual, but Darth Vader came out today, and that was the last
weekly. We're getting Star Wars and Darth Vader weekly. Well, why did we need an annual?
Well, no, I don't even have a problem with that. But the last part of Vader down that's going to be in a Darth Vader book was today. So why not delay the annual until next week? It shouldn't be in the middle of the storyline.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's for sure.
Apparently not. But I thought the story itself was different. There was more Vader in this than what we've usually seen. Afra wasn't in it at all, but BT and Triple Zero were.
Oh, they were awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I won't torture a robot. Yeah. I didn't say I wouldn't kill it. I just won't torture it. I took out its pain receptor first.
It's like, yes, I brought along all my poisons. But very kind of a dark story with that king willing to sacrifice his daughter to kill Vader.
Yeah. And she was very willing to go along with it, which was kind of like weird.
Yeah.
Especially like the way he was going to do it. Like he dumped molten whatever it was in that pipe. So it wasn't like, you know, it was going to be a quick death.
No. I think they're leaving.
They walked up, they said it's still open.
Is the sign off?
Yeah.
It's off.
You turned it off?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I turned it off at 8:30.
Okay.
So. Yeah, but it was kind of weird. And then, you know, the whole thing about, well, they got a mine for the Empire. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised by that a little bit. Just because it seemed, knowing that this is supposed to take place in between New Hope and Empire, I would have thought they would have left an Imperial garrison there. It would have been under the control of an Imperial governor.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have left a monarch in charge.
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody seems to be mining stuff for the Empire. That's what they're doing in that Chewbacca book, too.
Are they?
Yeah, yeah. But it's like this bug larvae or something. I don't know. They use for their weapons or some weird thing like that. And I like the end of the book, too, where Vader gave her a piece of Alderaan.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
To show what happens when people aren't beholden to the Emperor.
Yeah.
Okay. Next book.
Weird to
how about
posting it in my comics pro form?
Descender number 8.
I didn't read it, but I'm missing the name.
He owns a shop.
I know. Mark Wade posted in the comics pro member forum. It was just kind of, whoa. I don't know. It looks like just a question. You know?
Yeah.
It was just kind of funny seeing the name. I'll respond back to him. Yes. Sorry. I'm kidding.
Stop having Dave calling. Jeez.
Descender number 8, Josh.
I enjoyed it.
Very much.
We got a lot of backstory here.
Yeah, we get a lot of backstory about Andy.
Yeah, we have Andy and how Tim came to be in Andy's family to begin with. Like with why they got Tim in the first place.
Yeah, we get Andy's backstory. He seems to be, he didn't want to, like, when they moved to that mining plant, he didn't want to hang around with any of the kids. And he's begging his mother to get this robot.
What was interesting in this issue is we really didn't see, like, current timeline, you know, time frame Tim at all in this issue.
It
was all Andy and Blugger, was that his name or something?
Blugger, I think that's right.
And they're, like, trying to find Tim. And then we saw Tim in the flashbacks. And the flashbacks were from whenever they first, you know, got to the mining colony up until whenever they had to evacuate because the machines were attacking and there was that leak in the mines, and we found that the mom stayed behind because she was the only one that could possibly save the colony.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The only thing I didn't get, if, like, the mom's taking her son, Andy, to throw him in a shuttle to get him safe, and she says they don't have time to grab Tim. but she's going to stay behind and try and, you know, save this or stop this leak or whatever is going on. If you know you're going to just be sending your son off alone, then why wouldn't you have grabbed the robot who was also his protector at the same time, like, to go along with him? That was the only thing that didn't really make sense to me.
Okay. But do you think Andy has good intentions about finding Tim? I don't know, it's something, it just kind of getting a weird feeling.
I feel
about
like at
it.
First it's going to be he is, you know, when he finds him, he's going to try and kill him.
Yeah.
And then somehow he's going to be won over and they're going to be, you know, pals again. I don't know.
I hope
it's not like that because that's an overused, you know.
I know, maybe I'm thinking too much about it, but that last line when he says, you know, I got to find Tim, and he like cuts him off and he says, the robot.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you make of that, Andy, that haunted planet?
It was neat. We didn't get to see a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
I hope they explain it a bit more, especially with the, like, you know, vision kind of thing that he had. But it was neat. It was quick. It took place in, like, I think a page or two pages.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what comes of that.
Yeah.
And new book I read last week was Super Zero.
Super Zero.
From Aftershock.
Yeah, that was Palmiotti and...
It's written by Jim Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. And this was really interesting, I thought. This was a take on superheroes I don't think we've seen before. But there's this 19-year-old girl. Her name's Drusilla Dragowski. And she's in high school because she was... Left back 2 years. She's still in high school. She was left back 2 years. But she wants to be a superhero and is trying to figure out how to be a superhero. And she lives in a world where Batman and Superman, she reads Batman and Superman comics because she talks about them in the book. So she's trying to figure out what to do. She thinks if she can... get someone. She doesn't want to murder her parents, like Bruce Wayne's parents, but she hires this homeless Vietnam veteran to mug her parents after on their way out of seeing Star Trek the musical.
I can see that.
Because she thinks if her family can suffer that kind of trauma, it will set her on the path.
I have a question
to being
here.
A superhero.
In March, there is a Star Trek thing at the Benenum that Debbie and I are taking Adele to. Am I going to be mugged?
Might.
Are you foretelling what's going to happen to me?
Oh, my gosh.
After I come out of this Star Trek orchestra?
If it does happen, does that mean Adele's going to become Batman?
Well, let me finish.
That might be worth it.
And she's already taking karate?
That's true.
It'd be sad to see you go, but that'd be awesome to say I knew Batman way back when.
Santa, your powers are incredible.
Well, let me allay your fears, because they don't get mugged. Because when they come out of the show...
What happens to me?
No, the vet, the guy, he goes up to them and he asks them, are you Drusilla's parents? And they're like, yeah. And he says, hey, she paid me money to mug you, but I'm not going to mug you. But you better have a talk with her, because I don't think she's all right.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you real bad.
Yeah. I can't believe so that would do that to you guys.
So then
she's such a sweet girl.
Then he steals all their money. No, he doesn't.
If we revise what she's getting for Christmas now, now that I know she's planning on having me mugged.
The other part of this book is that she believes that humankind is wiped out every few millennia, and it's about to come again. There's about to be this, you know, this cleansing again, but she believes there's clues put in superhero comics that can stop this from happening, and that's why she wants to be a superhero to stop this. And so the next issue, she's gonna the teaser for the next issue, she's gonna get some radioactive bugs and she's gonna try to become a superhero from that.
That worked for Spider-Man.
So I don't know. I really liked it. It was very very wordy. So you get a lot for your $4, but I really enjoyed the book. Very interesting.
Worried for my future.
So I hope you're okay, Josh. I mean, I don't have anything to do with it if you get mugged.
Yeah, that sounded very sincere to me. Hope you're okay. I don't have anything to do with it if you're not, though. FYI.
All right, that's all I have. We'll go. Whoever wants to go next, Pat.
Sure. Lucifer, number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait for you to... Colin, did you read that?
I did not.
Okay. I thought it was really...
I sold out of it before I could read it.
I thought it was really, really good. It's a very interesting premise where God is apparently dead.
Yeah.
And the angels go to Gabriel, who... was cast out of heaven as well.
And he's like a cracked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like, he's a drunk and everything else. So they go to him basically, you know, we want to keep this so that no one knows what's going on. We're going to give you, you know, the power of the angels again. You need to investigate it. In the meantime, Lucifer is now in L.A. He's open like a club. So Gabriel immediately assumes Lucifer's the one that killed him. So he attacks Lucifer.
Yeah, that escalated fast.
I get that, though. I mean, you know, if you think, well, God's dead. Yeah, the devil probably did it. So I get that. I get the leap in logic there. In the middle of the fight, they kind of stop, and Lucifer's like, well, you know, I'll help you find him. And... you know, Gabriel asks him why, and it's a really, he tells him there's two reasons. It's really, it's like a really good line. He's like, first off, because he's my father too, and second, because if anyone gets to kill him, it's going to be me. So I highly recommend this book. It was, like I said, it was a really interesting premise. The art was good. The story was fast paced. Just overall, really, really decent book.
And you don't have to be familiar with the character from, you know, like the previous Hellblazer and stuff either.
No. You know, maybe a...
Or his previous series.
I would say maybe a minor understanding of Christian mythology would be enough to really understand everything that's going on in the book.
Parts of it felt like a bit of a info dump at times.
Okay.
But it was that's not saying it wasn't enjoyable. It was really, really enjoyable. Like you said, the art was great. I think I've picked up maybe half of these new Vertigo books, maybe a little bit over half. For the most part, I've really enjoyed them. And this one, again, just continues the trend. It was a really solid debut.
Yeah.
I think things are looking good for... I mean, I don't know how people are buying in, but from quality, I think things are looking good for this Vertigo relaunch.
Yeah. Well, and this has the tie-in because the TV show comes on in January.
Now, the TV show, the trailer, looks terrible to me.
See, to me, I think that it's going to be a little too slick, where this is a little more gritty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to go full-on Crackdown, but, you know, we'll see. the next one I read was The Beauty. Are you still reading that, Colin?
No, I'm...
You read four.
I read the first two, I think.
Oh, I thought you read up to four. Okay.
It's not intentional, just...
No, I... Yeah. Yeah, you can't read everything. So The Beauty, it's a sexually transmitted disease where it makes everyone attractive.
I was sending back some covers, and we were stripping the covers to send them back, and the first page was this naked woman.
Chick, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just funny having to rip it and see, you know, the same boob each time. It was just kind of and then somebody'd walk in, it's like, turn it over. It was just very funny, because it was right there. It was.
Well, there was a big floppy dong in this one.
Oh, so, I didn't see
it. Yeah, not on the first page, but it was in there.
First, I thought you said dog.
Yeah, big floppy dog. Yep. Big floppy dog. That's exactly what he said. Keep going.
Did you read Tokyo Ghost? Are you reading that?
I read the third one, yeah.
No,
there
I didn't.
Was a little bit of a, hey, now.
Oh, well, no, in issue four, there was a point where a samurai sword came into contact with a floppy dong. A lot of dongs this week in comics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
December's dong awareness.
Yeah.
Oh, Josh. Seem awful too.
So in
you
the
sold me it. You recommended it in the first place too.
I did.
Sorry, yeah. Pat.
Based solely
that's
on
okay.
The
yeah. So the two detectives are working now to get a cure to this, because what we found out is the side effect to this disease is you internally combust and, like, shoot fire out of your mouth, and it's you know,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Walking dragon.
Yeah, except for, you know, you're dead. Yeah. So they decide to test the cure on the one of the detectives, and we don't know if she's cured, but it, like, all her hair fell out. She's very wrinkled and all that. So, you know, the assumption is that's what happened. But the way this the cure works is they attached it to, like, a very fast reproducing flu virus. So once it gets out, it'll spread like wildfire, apparently. When they tested it, they tested it in a safe room so that, you know, it can't get out. But with the side effect, who knows if they're going to release it or not, because it may be too much. But still, it's a decent premise book, and it's been interesting.
Okay.
Batman Europa, number 2.
I read that.
Okay.
I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
The art was interesting in the sense as it changed as the story changed, or at least I felt it did. Like, the story with Batman and Joker was a certain style, but then when you got
into the plane,
it was a very different art style, even though it was the same artist. And the art style is different from anything I've seen him do, because Giuseppe Camicoli, who's doing Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's, I don't know if it's the coloring, although it doesn't list the colorist, I liked it a lot, and I liked it because of that. The story-wise, I could not try to summarize that for you.
There's still, the Joker and Batman are still infected with something that's going to kill them within a few days.
Also, they're attacked by, like, this giant robot.
No, they're in Prague. They're going
Prague.
To Paris.
That's right, they're going
Paris, to Paris. Yeah, it's the next one. But they were in Prague, and they were attacked by wooden robots for some reason. Yeah. They were wood. Which it almost seemed like I was waiting for Scarface to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. But, like, the bad guy has kind of appeared, but you've seen, like, through his eyes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
someone talking
POV.
To him, but you didn't, you don't know who it is. Different.
Yeah,
different.
It is. It has been a different book. It's not a bad
book.
No,
it's
book.
Only four issues, so it's going to be wrapped up soon, but I really like the art in it.
Yeah. We Are Robin.
I read that.
Yeah. So this was the next part of Robin War. So they have Red Robin and Red Hood basically fight. The Talons get them and have them fight, and they use that as a way to help everybody escape, which made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I like how things played out with the conversation between, you know, Dick and Gordon. And then also what was going on, like, the conversations in the...
With Tim, or not with Tim, with Damian
and
Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I really like about this series, and I feel like Eternal is going to get there, it's really been, like, a celebration of Dick Grayson.
Of Robin.
Of Robin, but even more so, like, Dick Grayson. Like, I loved whenever, you know, Damian caught on to what...
what they were doing.
Yeah, what they were doing, and he's like, oh, they're pulling a Grayson. You know, it was it's been really, really fun,
so
really enjoyable.
Yeah, that was pretty good, but Grayson would have done
it quicker. Yeah.
I'm enjoying the Robin War thing. The second to last part is today in Batman Son of Robin, and then we get Robin War number 2 next month.
Okay.
So it's going to wrap up quick.
Mm-hmm.
But my assumption is whatever happens here is going to have repercussions for the other books.
Yeah, because it's had repercussions for the other books, but even this issue said continued next month in...
We Are Robin.
No.
Well,
Robin
said,
War,
this is what's happened.
Some subtitle. So I don't know what's... If it's just something within We Are Robins, it's going to continue the storyline, or if it's an actual main continuation of this whole Robin War.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's been good. It's been nice and compact so far. And
yeah. Staying along those lines, Batman and Robin Eternal.
I liked last week's a lot. And just when you thought you were going to get a big reveal. They cut you off.
Yeah.
But I read today's, and it was pretty good as well. And
was it?
Kinda, it doesn't give you everything, but it's very satisfying.
I know it's been... The art was different in this one. I know it's been a different artist. And some... I thought the cover was trippy. It was a psychedelic cover.
Yeah, it was. I liked the cover. It was kind of cool. It was essentially... Last week's was essentially the origin of Cassandra Cain.
Yeah. And that was... That's a very different origin. Yeah. But I like that where she's the orphan's daughter.
And you find out exactly who the orphan is and how... he fits in with Mother and what Mother is actually doing.
Yeah.
And it's being told by this woman, the sculptor, who has telepathic
psychic powers,
abilities.
Yeah.
So she is, you know, molding the minds of these people that Mother is, you know, selling, essentially.
Yeah. This, I don't think there's been a bad issue with this yet.
There's been some weekly issues, but
not a bad issue.
I think where this weekly series really excels and where the other ones kind of fell a little bit short is this story is just so tight and well-knit and just really focused, and it doesn't feel like it's ever getting off track.
Yeah.
Which is good. Every issue feels like it's logically progressing things.
Yep. Yeah, it gives you a little bit every week to keep you coming back.
And we're at the halfway point already.
Yeah.
It's 25 issues. We just had issue 12 today, I think, so.
Okay. Been good. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Justice League.
It was good.
I was a little disappointed, though.
Not really a whole lot happened.
Yeah, that's why I was disappointed.
The story didn't really progress at all. And I like Francis Manapul's art a lot. I didn't love it in this issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the return of Jason Fabok.
Yeah.
Next month.
Next week?
Yeah, that's right, it's next week. Yeah, you're right, there's not enough happened in it to kind of move the story. A lot of it was, I feel like it was Wonder Woman internalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked all the one-shots, but I don't think this book did enough to kind of utilize the momentum you gained off that.
Maybe I'm remembering this incorrectly. At the end of Hal Jordan's one shot, didn't he give
up? Yeah.
So why was he still the God of Light in this issue?
The Flash did the same thing. The Flash gave up too.
No, the Flash ended up not. He was trying to, but ended up not giving up.
I thought he did give up.
No, in the end, he was still the God of Death. But
Hal Jordan did. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why I was confused why he was still God of Light in this.
I don't know. Because otherwise they wouldn't have a God of Light. Well, and then Grail, they made the God of Anti-Life.
Mm-hmm.
That, I thought, was a little different.
Yeah.
I did kind of like her whole thing. You know, death isn't good enough for Darkseid. He has to suffer more.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it was good. It was enjoyable. Just not a whole lot happened. It wasn't as good as the previous issues have been, I don't think.
Yeah.
Now, Colin, I feel like you disagree with this a little bit.
No, I liked it. No, I don't remember any specifics.
So. Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
But what did you think about the art? That's where I thought you
would disagree. Now, I wasn't a huge Manapul fan to start with, but I had no problem with it. I mean, I like Fabok's better, but...
Yeah, I didn't think it was horrible, but it hasn't been as good as Fabok's.
I became a fan of Manapul on Flash, and I thought he was... Really solid.
I like
Flash,
it on Flash, yeah.
And then I thought he was really solid on Detective. So for most part, I've liked his art with everything I've experienced. But this, it just, I don't know, it wasn't as strong.
Fell a little short,
yeah.
So, Josh.
First one I'll do Wrath of the Eternal Warrior number 2. So this answers a few more questions to where he's actually at and what the deal is with his family that. He's been interacting with. So we find out that the family, the wife and the kids, they are, you know, it's his wife and all the kids he's had throughout the ages that have died and are now in the afterlife. So whenever he dies and he's in the afterlife, he is with all these people that, you know, he has, you know, outlived. And again, he's given the choice where he could, you know, stay there with them and, you know, live out in this paradise of an afterlife. Or try and go through these trials through hell to try and make his way back to the mortal world. And this is a quieter issue. It was more, you know, it was very family centric in, you know, his interactions with his kids and his wife and his firstborn son, who was stolen or kidnapped whenever he was a baby and raised by this, you know, brutal king. And doesn't really have a relationship with Galad, but it was really good. It was a really good like mythology building issue for the series. And then at the end, we got a few pages of what his trials are going to be when going through hell. And it's a really good series. It's so far, it's been a very different take for the Eternal Warrior and really building up his backstory. And it's been a lot of fun. Superman American Alien number 2.
I like that. I liked it a lot more than number 1.
I like number 1 a lot. I like this one a lot as well. It's very different.
Yeah.
Superman is now a teenager in this one. And essentially what happens is these people rob a convenience store very brutally. They kill people during the robbery. And
Superman then they go back to their house and are like beating up on their family.
The kid went back to his parents' house. I guess he's been out of town for several years and came back and now is terrorizing his parents. And the sheriff shows up and asks Clark, you know, very subtly, if he can offer any assistance. So I'm getting a feeling that almost the entire town knows that Clark is this alien with superpowers. It almost sounds kind of like Huck, where, you know, the entire town knows who he is and just kind of keeps his identity a secret. And we see a Clark that at first is still very, you know, weary of doing anything to try and draw attention to himself. Right. But in the end, he can't, you know, he's the kind of person that can't just sit by and let someone, you know, harm someone else or let this happen. So he tries to take matters in his own hands and it doesn't quite go well. And he's still, you get the sense he's still very new to these powers, and he accidentally cuts off someone's arms with his heat vision.
The guy deserved it.
He did deserve it.
Oh, okay.
But it was pretty brutal and
very un-Superman like.
Well, it wasn't intentional. It was just he was
being
trying
attacked.
To.
Yeah. He'd been shot already. And he can be shot apparently. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not indestructible at this point.
Must be like once he goes through puberty, he
could be.
I mean, I think he's like high school though.
Yeah, no, that's true. He's in high school.
Maybe he's a late bloomer.
Yeah, they were driving cars.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good. I really liked it.
It was really good. Like, it was a very emotional issue. The art
did Tommy
conveyed
Lee Edwards
emotional...
do the art on that?
Let's see. Let's see if it will show me here.
I forget who I just knew you had the ability.
Yes, you're correct. Yeah. Tommy Lee Edwards did do the art.
Oh, the writer's the same guy who wrote The Force Awakens?
No, it's Max Landis. He wouldn't have anything to do with Star Wars.
He's the guy that...
He's the writer that critiqued... but no, it's been good. I've really liked this series so far. At first, I thought I was going to wait for trade on this. I actually think this is one of those series that will read worse in trade because each issue is so disconnected from each other.
Right.
I think single issues is much, much more enjoyable than it will be in one collection. Judge Dredd, number 1, came out last week. So this is a really different take on Judge Dredd, and what's interesting, the guy that's writing this series was the artist on Judge Dredd Mega City 2, and he did the cover for this. But essentially, Dredd wakes up, and he's in the middle of nowhere, and he can't, you know, bring up operations on the comms. He doesn't have much ammo left. It looks like he's the only human around. He can't locate Mega City 1 at all. It says he's in the location of Mega City 1, but he's in this wilderness area. And then he comes across these other humans who are acting, you know, really like brutal savages. There's this one guy who they're saying was kicking puppies, and these kids are...
Oh, man.
These kids are attacking him, and the one kid, like, gouges the guy's eyes out, and Dredd's trying to stop them, and they're like, but he's... He, he kicks puppies. Why? He's the bad guy. And their speech is all messed up. Like they definitely don't have the same, you know, skills of communication that, you know, an advanced person would have. And it plays out very much like he is in, you know, a Planet of the Apes scenario, where somehow he ends up far into the future, where Mega City 1 has been, you know, laid waste for
damn
thousands
you,
of years.
Damn you, what the hell?
And it flashes back a bit to the last case he was working before, you know, he blacked out and woke up in this scenario. And in the case he's working, where there's mysterious disappearances of citizens from Mega City 1, and I think it was 13,000 citizens had mysteriously vanished. And as he's, you know, further exploring where he's at, he comes across this, like, cell block that they're all looking at as if it's some sort of, you know, mecca that they're all trying to get to, and, you know, there's salvation inside of it. And he finds out that really is Mega City 1, and there's these robots out front that are guarding the doors that are wearing Judge's armor. And when he gets inside, he discovers it really is, you know, these desolate areas of Mega City 1, so it really does look like he's hundreds or thousands of years in the future. Okay. So it's a really cool take.
What years Judge Dredd usually take place in, or do you...
I'm not sure, Dave. No. I think it's like 2200 something.
Okay.
I never read the 2008
stuff. Okay. I was just curious.
But it was really, really cool. The art was really not really... It fit the tone of the book a lot. It was really well done. But it was just... It was an interesting take. I really liked the last ongoing Judge Dredd series they had. And this does not, you know, tread in the same tone or the same mm-hmm. stories at all so far.
That's good.
So I'm curious to see where they take it. Clean Room, number 3. Did you read
that? No, one? I didn't get to that one yet. I liked 1 and 2.
This book is creepy as hell. This is one of the most effed up books... on the shelves.
I saw your tweet to
yeah, and they
tweet about that too.
Yeah, she responded. Yeah.
Oh, did she respond? Yeah. Okay, cool.
But yeah, this book just has some really effed up visuals. Like at one point you're seeing what looks like this alien abduction, this guy and his wife, and it shows his wife, her abdomen completely separated, and it looks like they are, you know, doing experiments or examining the child that's in her.
Huh.
Really messed up. It's really interesting. It's really well written. The visuals work great with the story. And there's a lot of twists in this one where the girl who's the journalist who's trying to, you know, uncover what's behind, you know, Astrid Mueller and take her down, it almost looks like she's being recruited by them. And Astrid's, you know, bodyguard, you know, right hand, you find out, like, she's been following her and essentially, you know, tells her that I like you. I think that we think that you, you know, could be a great asset, but if you're going to keep going down this route of trying to take her down, that we'll get rid of you. But it's been 3 solid issues. I have no idea where the story's going, except for they make hints that there might be, you know, a true alien presence involved with this. But aside from that, yeah, I have no idea where it's going, but it's a lot of fun. And also, this one ties back to the guy that mowed her down in the car in the first issue.
Okay.
Talking about how, you know, he hit her twice maliciously, and then people drug him out of the car and gouged his eyes out. And yeah. It was good. It's a really, really good Vertigo book. Justice League United wrapped up.
Okay.
This with number 16. I have a lot of problems with this issue, because this issue explains a lot of what's been going on in the past few issues. It explained how Adam Strange ended up, you know, as like a being of light within the Zeta beams. It explained why they were having a rotating cast of characters to, you know, take on these, they're called breakers. They're, you know, they latch onto the Earth and they alter reality to everything that's within these bubbles, essentially. But there was no real explanation as to what they were, why they were occurring before this story arc started, whenever Jeff Parker took over. This issue should have happened between Jeff Lemire's run and Jeff Parker's run, because it would have explained
you know, it would have given context to everything that was happening in Jeff Parker's run. So it seemed kind of strange to me that now at the very end they decided to release an issue that explained everything previously when you've already lost readers on it. The explanation was fine. It was on its own. It was an enjoyable issue. Just I had a problem with them deciding to release it now instead of, you know, 6 issues ago. But it's done now. And I'm not sure if there's any other ones that I want to highlight. I don't think so. Colin?
Okay. Spider-Man 1.1, which is just basically a different Spider-Man story.
Like they did before with yep. the head.
Yep, it's just like basically a way to get a second Spider-Man story book on the shelves without giving it a different name, which makes no sense.
It's their way to try and trick you into buying a miniseries.
Well, but it's a problem for me because it has the same coding as the regular Spider-Man book, so it's a little hard to separate out, and you guys don't know, you know, does it tie in, doesn't it? So just a little bit annoying that way. But one thing Adam said, he liked this one better than the regular one. And I don't want to say I
was last time.
I don't want to say I liked it better. There wasn't a whole lot to it. The art, there was definitely some.
Who wrote this?
Don't remember. Somebody I don't remember the name of. Somebody okay. I don't know. Not someone.
It definitely wasn't Dan Slott.
No.
Was Jerry Conway?
But it was just, what? Jerry no, it's a name I'd never heard of before. Oh, okay. So,
some kid wrote it.
Some guy, Jorge Molina or something, I want to say. Okay. So just, I don't know. It was just another Spider-Man story. You know, stuff's going on, he gets involved, and all of a sudden at the end, there's these new characters show up. So, I mean, it was fine. It was a Spider-Man story. Nothing exciting. I mean, it was fine. Yeah, not. It was unexciting, but I don't remember any specifics.
But it was not one that was, it's not like one for the ages.
No, okay. Not yet. Squadron Supreme, which already gave away the end of it in the months ago, which was really kind of disappointing. But basically, the Squadron Supreme is made up of, I think, 6 characters from other worlds that were destroyed during the incursions. And one of which was a world in the millions. So they're trying to indicate that Marvel has millions of universes, which seemed a little much to me. I mean, at least DC's narrowed it down to 52 now. I'm going to say millions seems a little bit much.
Can they get one right first?
And each character is from these different worlds. And one of them, I think it was Dr. Spectrum, is from the world that Namor blew up early on in New Avengers, where they were having the incursions. They were trying to figure out how to stop it, and they needed to stop one or Earth was going to be destroyed, and everybody kind of wasn't willing to do it. And he stepped up and hit the detonator, which exploded that thing. Well, so now they're hunting Namor because he blew up this one person's world, and they're all working. So they're here to protect Earth, whether they like it or not, kind of attitude. So in the end, spoilers, they kill Namor. Decapitated him, because on the cover of issue 2 the guy's carrying his head under his arm, which is how they kind of had to get rid of it. But it was one of those, knowing that was going to happen made it kind of, it's like, why would you spoil your own book? So they're not particularly likable people. They're people you've seen before. I mean, there's been bunches of versions of Squadron Supreme with Hyperion and Night Mask, I'm sorry.
Is this the same Hyperion that has his own book starting in...
Yes. Yeah. Because I'm sure all the... And the Batman-related characters also getting his own book spinning out of this as well.
Okay.
I can't remember his name, and I apologize for that.
Probably in this month's previews, because Hyperion number 1 is...
Okay, it might be. So, I mean, it was fine. We'll see where it's going. It's just, it was a case of Marvel kind of spoiling the big reveal at the end ahead of time. And, like, way ahead of time. And then the only other run I read was Starbrand and Night Mask, only because I had made a comment while doing the previews on this one. I know I had posted either on the website or on Facebook, but just saying, do we really need this book? And I read it, and no, we don't need this book. basically, Starbrand and Night Mask. Starbrand is the new universe character that is the protector of the Earth, who has been completely missing during Secret Wars. And during the incursions and stuff. And Night Mask is kind of his leader, who was born on the moon at the beginning of Hickman's run. Very complicated. But Starbrand wants to go off and, like, join the Avengers and be a hero, and Nightmare says, no, you need to learn more. We're going to college. So they're going to Empire University, same one as Spider-Man, and apparently Squirrel Girl, who makes a cameo appearance. And it's just basically them checking into the dorm and starting classes. And then, or early on, they run across Blizzard, and they take down Blizzard as Blizzard is making this grand pronouncement that he is now an Inhuman. So yeah, Blizzard's an Inhuman, and then at the end, they run into a couple bad guys who turns out to be Nitro, and who's your favorite S.H.I.E.L.D. villain?
Graviton.
Wait a second, so I guess Nitro's gonna have to show up then, too.
Probably, he might show up, but it felt very Marvel Universe-y.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, Marvel Cinematic, you got two of the bad guys that have been on S.H.I.E.L.D., and the art was passable, but there were many pages of, wow, that's a really stiff-looking guy, because he was basically standing there to talk. Not like that. It's going to be a six-issue mini, and that's going to be it. They're checking into their room, and all of a sudden, he's like, oh, look at that hot, what were they, RAs or whatever?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, is that your name? Oh, here, I've been getting your mail. Oh, who walks up? Well, it's Squirrel Girl.
And she's the hot RA?
No, she's not, but she was getting the RA's mail. But she has tippy toe on her shoulder.
Do you want to go to college there?
And they're like, gosh, is that a squirrel on your shoulder?
That's what passes for the hot girl.
No, it was the RA who, it's even weirder. Whatever. I'll show you after. They're like, is that a squirrel on your shoulder? She's like, no, it's animatronic. It's not real. Ha ha. My secret identity is intact. And she walks away. It was just very, I don't know. I overordered a 10. So, yeah.
Do you get the feeling, Colin, that like issues like this with Starbrand and some of these team ups that are kind of like, Marvel's throwing everything at the fan, that they're trying to eat up your shelf space so that when you get people to come in, there's more Marvel on your shelf than maybe other
people. I get a sense of that because, like, this is one of those that was kind of thrown out there with no fanfare, no nothing, just thrown out. Like, we got Patsy Walker Hellcat out of nowhere today.
Well, but, or could it be, remember a year ago, DC did the G.I. Zombie, it a trademark thing?
It could be, but Starbrand? You know, and Nightmare. I started thinking about that. I'm like, this hero was basically named after a sleeping aid. You know, I'm like,
well, according to you, the book is a sleeping aid.
Well, but so I mean, it could be something like that. But I don't know that Starbrand. That was a new universe book. Yeah,
that was a good book. Actually.
If nobody's grabbed it since then, so I don't know. But yeah, they just have so much on the shelf, and so much of it is not focused. I wouldn't mind them coming out with a book saying, hey, this is our young adult line. We're aiming at the college kids, and we have these books. Hey, guys, but instead it's just getting thrown out there. Like, Patsy Walker's spinning out of Squirrel Girl. Well, okay, but it was referenced in Jessica Jones, and it's definitely not for the Jessica Jones fans. Yeah. So, who's this aimed at?
Trish Walker, not Patsy Walker.
But they made reference to her books and stuff this, and in this one she's talking about beauty aids and things like that. It's like, okay, so if someone read Jessica or watched Jessica Jones, this isn't the book for them. So I just don't quite understand where they're going with all that.
So you said you didn't have any grievances.
No, but it's making it tough to order. That's it for books. Do you want to talk about any?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't know if you guys have been reading The Fade Out, but no. Mm-mm. Okay.
Were you reading?
I've been reading that, yeah. I don't think I've read the last. I still haven't read the last issue, but
okay. I think that's
the most recent issue, but
the most recent one. Okay,
but yeah, I've read it.
I thought that's been a really good series, but I think I found out that it's kind of set in the 1940s, 50s, mm-hmm. kind of like a crime drama. No real superheroes involved, so it's kind of like
not at all.
Yeah, very realistic, kind of down to earth type of murder. Who did it? But I think in January it's ending. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's wrapping up soon. Yeah, I want to say like a 12.
Everything's starting to come together.
Okay.
Now, as far as who murdered Maya Silver.
Right. So I was looking at something to kind of like supplement that, and I came across, I think Dynamite put it out, is Seduction of the Innocent.
Okay, yeah.
And I thought that was really good. The interior art is kind of, it's modern, but it kind of still has that 1940s, 1950s feel. It's kind of set back in that time. It's near a murder mystery, But I kind of like the history that was tied to that comic, because isn't that like one of the comics that was used to kind of bring out the comics code?
No, it was a book that was written by Frederick Wortham.
Oh, okay.
To basically go to say the youth is being seduced.
They're being seduced
by these. I did a paper on it sophomore year in high school. So,
So you know more than I do on it.
No, just about that.
But so that. That
he said sophomore in high school. I mean,
that was a couple of years ago.
That was, yeah, that was back in the 80s. Yeah.
He loved the 40s because he was around back then. Suicide Squad, see?
But I thought it was good. The interior art's good, and then even the writing was good, because I was expecting a lot of more graphic shock and awe, but it kind of left it up to your imagination as you're turning the pages.
Okay.
And
well, that fits in with more of the 40s vibe anyway.
Yeah, it was. Well, it's not like any severed heads on the front cover.
But I mean the whole, and I know it's not 40s, it's, 50s and 60s, like the old Alfred Hitchcock movies. They didn't show you what happened. They left it up to your imagination. They kind of took you right down to the edge of the path. That's how it was.
And I thought it was really good. I didn't expect that at all. So I think I'm going to start picking that one up. And then just kind of like a prelude to our Star Wars discussion, I finished Shattered Empire. And
these guys raved about it. It's about the trees.
Yeah, and I didn't know, how that even ties in with the movie, but...
After seeing the movie,
was one of those trees the Millennium Falcon crashed into?
The only place where I think it ties in is they make several comments as to how skilled of a pilot Poe Dameron is.
Okay.
And how, like... And even showing like how incredible his maneuvers were.
Right.
So I think they're trying to show that he may have some force sensitivity that's aiding his skills, which would make sense since his parents planted the force tree in his backyard at the end of that series.
So wait, the force is not a tree, it's not midichlorians? I'm so confused.
They're insects, man. They can live on trees. Maybe they're like termites, they like wood.
Okay.
This movie seemed to distance themselves from the idea of midichlorians drastically.
No, there was that one scene where you clearly, we'll get to it.
Charging up, Super Saiyan?
Where she was charging up, to become Super Samurai.
She was just hulking up, that's all it was.
Right, but she was just waiting for, hang on, midichlorian powers.
Activate,
exactly, thank you.
And she turned into water.
I thought Finn did that.
Oh, well, that's true.
Yeah. Of the two, he was the more useless, and so he would have to be the buck.
I gotta get out of here.
He was pretty skilled with the lightsaber.
Not compared to her.
Well, still, compared to how he should have been, he was pretty skilled.
Okay, we'll get to that. Let the poor guy finish.
Yeah.
Gosh, stop knocking it off, Josh.
Last one is Vader Down. Maybe you guys already talked about that one. Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought that was...
Where he was way overpowered.
Well, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, he was way overpowered, but I still thought that the art was good and the storyline was pretty good. And I don't know if Marvel's doing this now where that started out as it wasn't like it's a new series, but or it's a crossover event.
It started out on
its own issue.
Right.
Do they do that all the time, or is that just something?
Not all the time. I mean, it's not unheard of, but...
Just to get more number
ones. Yeah, like DC just did that with Robin War. It had its own.
Yeah, and it's going to have its own Robin War, too. They did the same thing with...
Robin Rises.
Yeah, Robin Rises. I couldn't think of what
I'm not a fan of that practice.
No.
Just for sorting comics, it aggravates me to have
two books with one title. Yeah, I agree.
And I always want to put them in with like the other books.
Oh, yeah. Marvel did with Battle of the Atom, which was the beginning and ending.
Let's not
then,
talk about that.
And the rest went through the X books. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to find examples.
So that's all I got.
Battle of the Atom. That was an awful event.
That derailed so many books.
Yeah. It felt like they were building up to something big, and then that thing came out and just slapped you in the face and laughed at you.
Haha, sucker, we got your money.
Yeah. Is that what Colin said to you?
What?
Sucker, I got your money already.
No, he doesn't say it to me. I can hear him say it, though, as I leave.
I don't say it out loud. Yeah.
Cha-ching!
Red Wolf, yes. I think I'm up to three.
I see how you overordered that, and it's now 50% off. So for all your Red Wolf needs, come to Pittsburgh Comics.
That's
he has
when
plenty.
I looked on the shelf and realized I had sold one out of 20 copies. And went,
it's marked half off already.
Yeah.
I got
19 copies.
And I cut my order on number 2 down to 2, but those ones aren't going to go anywhere. I'm sure it's a great series.
Well, aren't they going to send you enough?
Yes, they are, actually. Yeah. They're going to send me, I'm going to get 18 extra copies on that one. No, I think actually I cut it to 4, but still, yeah. I do want to get caught up on Vision, actually, because people are talking about
check
it.
Out.
Yeah. Just wait, you'll get a free copy in
Spidey
something.
And Deadpool.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Deadpool, because I know you want to buy that one.
No.
Is that one in Spanish?
No. We can only hope. We can only hope.
Klingon.
I just want to do a little editorial just before we get into our Star Wars discussion, but Pat and I have been listening to a podcast called The Avenging Hour. And on this last one, as I was getting caught up, the reason I made a special point, I wanted to get up caught up to this one. I didn't remember it was this specific one I needed. But I remembered the cover of my very first Avengers book. And it was this great cover where it's Jan in a wedding dress, and there's a wedding cake, and out of the cake is this huge snake that's now enveloped her.
Okay.
And she's caught. And it's just, you know, it's a cover you're not going to forget, especially when you first saw it, like, as an 8-year-old boy. It was just very, wah! And, you know, back in the days,
it
was 59, I believe.
59, okay.
But it's one of those where, you know, it's definitely, what happens in this issue, when they used to know how to do covers to make you want to actually pick up the book. And so I've been waiting for them to get to it, and it wasn't a very good book, according to them. But one of the things they mentioned is they go through all their spiel, like I do, about where you can contact them. And they made a comment to, like, you know, have we ever gotten an email? No, nobody's listening to this. And it made me kind of think and realize that, not trying to be self-serving, really. But if you listen to a podcast or if you go to a website that you read, a blog or anything, shoot them a note. Let them know how much you enjoy it, that you are listening, that you are, you know, that you do enjoy it. And just a simple thank you, just so that, you know. I always get shocked when we get, you know, a viewer question or a listener question, because it's like, wow, somebody is actually listening to this. So just to kind of, you
know, talking to you, James and Zach.
Yeah.
The Adam Warrock show. Someone was talking about something that we were talking about on the podcast.
Okay.
I'm like, I can't believe people listen
to
that.
So,
oh,
but,
really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. What was it? Chuck, I think his name was.
Chuck listens. Oh, okay, he was like, man, they were really mean to you again. I'm like, yeah.
Well, you were. The slate is now clean. You got even with me, so.
New year, new slate.
Oh, it's not a new year yet. Although this is all new number one. But
he can now win, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's 1 week to win.
Even,
for 2015.
Yeah. So next week, I got. No. It wasn't.
I'm
just
kidding.
Led your way into
I'm
that.
Kidding.
But just let them know. I think they'll appreciate it. It was a little thing, like I was. Right, Gene Colan was sick, and I remember I sent an email to his, like, agent just to say, hey, I just wanted to let Gene know how much he meant to me and all this stuff. And just, you know, they passed shortly thereafter. And also, I think, I don't know if it was around that time, but I remember
we played footsies here?
No, I was crossing.
You just ran your foot up my calf.
No, but...
Colin, you're not a rabbit. He's not into you.
there was
Colin's face.
He's got that image
shirt
in his head right now.
No, there was a writer, I forget, Dwayne McDuffie. I remember, and he passed suddenly, and a lot of people were like, oh man, I wish I had always let him know how much he meant to me and stuff. So it's just kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's that time of the year, but probably more Thanksgiving, but,
let
you know, give thanks.
Know.
Let people know that, you know, how much you enjoy their work. They'll appreciate it. Yeah, so that's all. So I felt good. You know, I sent these guys an email just saying, hey, you know, especially with this one, they're talking about all the Avengers books, and it doesn't seem like any.
No,
and I keep saying,
you're
good job.
Through
yeah,
this
I'm like, is it, at any point do these books get good? Because they don't, and it's not a super critical. I think they're reading it with more like this mentality, and
they're
going,
looking at it under
what
modern.
What happened? This
modernized.
Made no sense. Yeah, but this makes no sense. What they did, and why did she do that? Nobody did anything, and at the end, they let the bad guys escape, and they called it a win, which seems to be most of the issues. So it's just kind of funny. What?
They use maneuver B.
I'm trying to stay away from your feet.
So now you're going to play with mine?
No, my legs are stiff and I'm stretching them.
Okay.
I was just smirking. So the writer on those books didn't do a very good job.
No,
we're well past that writer.
Oh, it's well,
oh,
yeah,
we?
No,
yeah,
we're
okay.
Into Roy Thomas now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, but Stan, and I think
he got his fair share of criticism.
Oh, he got his fair
too.
Share of criticism, but it definitely seemed like a lot of part of the Marvel method was telling the artist, okay, do this, 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 and this, and they really didn't like Don Heck. You know, this is the basic plot of the story, and then when it came in, it's like, well, crap, that's not what I told him to do. Well, I have to work with it. We don't have time to do another issue. And it seemed like there was a lot of that, where it was just like, and then he did this, and then he never came back, and, you know, why was he
wearing... They're having to write dialogue to explain what wasn't said.
Yeah, why all of a sudden he drew that character, but he wasn't in costume anymore. Well, why? So, lots of little things like that. But, oh, so you were smirking about Stan.
I was just smirking.
Yeah, you were just smirking. Okay, smirker. Okay, now... Now the segment called Josh Hated Star Wars. Okay.
Since we're going to say spoilers...
Yes, that's why...
Do you want to do this guy now?
Oh, you want me to do it? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, coming next week, which is the last week
of the year. If you haven't
seen
Star Wars yet, you want to turn us off before we start spoiling things.
So, next week, we have All New Wolverine number 3, and I've actually sold out of 1 and 2. So, either I did a really good job ordering, or just not good enough. But I was close on that. Amazing Spider-Man number 6. So, yeah, so that's 6 issues of Amazing Spider-Man since the relaunch in October. So, when people are complaining about DC, Marvel's doing the same thing here.
Marvel's been doing it for years.
Right, but why is everybody slamming DC on it? They don't slam Marvel, and Marvel's putting out way more titles than DC right now.
Well, because that's what cool kids do. Because
Marvel can do no wrong. DC
we'll
is
see.
The popular whipping.
We'll see. One just side note: the previews order is due. This is the previews order is due, which is Sunday. Well, it's technically Monday at 4 a.m. So, if you can let me know by Sunday what you want, I've already finished the order, so I'll just be adding anything.
By Sunday at like 5 p.m.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, not at midnight. I might not be up. You never know.
Is there a hockey game?
Might be drunk.
Drunk? You don't drink.
He doesn't. He's going to go home tomorrow and not stop for 4 days.
I'm working here. I get one day off.
Are you exclusively rum? If you can help it.
No. I wouldn't say exclusively rum. It's just my preferred.
Yeah.
Drink.
He stays off the turpentine. He had a bad experience.
Not a big whiskey fan. Gin, I don't mind a gin and 7-Up.
My
parents were gin drinkers. I discovered rum in college, and might need some gin and apple cider. I mean, rum and apple cider. No,
what
that
the hell concoction is
that? That sounds horrible.
I love gin and apple cider.
No, but the rum, the crack in an apple cider. So. Okay. What was I saying before that?
Amazing Spider-Man number 6.
Oh, we were back on that. Yeah. Batman Europa number 3. So that's actually, after all these years of delay, it's coming out rather quickly.
It's the first of the DC books to be
bi-weekly. Captain America White is finishing up. Talk about after several year delay. Carnage number 3 actually sold out of 1 and 2 on that. So that one's actually doing quite well. Deadpool and Cable split second number 1. Because we need a Deadpool book next week. So let's throw that one out there. Presumably in English. What?
But it's with Cable.
With Cable, yes. And I actually got a preview copy today by accident. No, I got one came in my reorder that wasn't supposed to come. It was just kind of funny. Dr. Fate number 7, I highlighted that for Adam, but he's not here. Drax 2, we'll see how that goes. I'm wondering how much a number 1 just sold on his name. Not that it sold great.
CM Punk.
But yeah, CM Punk. Green Arrow, I highlighted the wrong thing. Green Arrow by Jeff Lemire, deluxe edition hardcover, which would have made a great Christmas present.
It would have. That was a great run.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's coming next week. Harley Quinn and Power Girl is wrapping
Christmas,
up.
So it'll be all right.
Yeah.
Good point.
Howard the Duck number 3, and apparently, what's her name's getting her own book. So, spinning out of...
Gwenpool?
Gwenpool is getting her own book, spinning out of the backup stories in Howard the Duck. Which isn't selling well, so I can't blame... I don't know.
The 4 customers that read that are probably going to get...
The best part about that, I saw the headline says, Gwenpool coming from Hastings. And I'm like, well, that's sure, because Hastings is a book chain that is also stepping into the comic book market. I'm like, they're making Gwenpool exclusive through Hastings? What jerks? So, but it's actually written by Christopher Hastings. So.
Gotcha.
But it,
still said what jerks.
Pretty much, pretty much. The Image Giant Size Artist Proof Edition of Witches 1. I'm intrigued only because I really like the art in Witches. I love Jock, but I hated the coloring. So I'm interested. I might actually like this a little bit better now. So. James Bond 3. Somebody was reading that. You were reading
that. Yeah, I'm reading it.
Jessica Jones Trade Paperback Volume 4. Yay! Would have been nice to have this before the TV show came out, but since it's just repeat stuff, but or reprint stuff. Jughead 3, Dave. Justice League 47. Last Sons of America, which is kind of funny. I didn't sell a single copy of that. I really liked it. And that's the... There's been a biological attack on the United States, and everyone is sterilized.
Okay.
So in order to continue your family name, you have to adopt. And it's about these brothers going out to Central America to try to get buy kids from their parents, basically saying, you're living in poverty, we can make your life better, and we can definitely make your child's life better.
Oh, it's like that movie... Children of Men.
Yeah. So... But then like other people are going down and just kidnapping people. So they were kind of fighting that. So it was interesting. Multiversity 1 and 2 Director's Cut, which is going to be neat with the script. So a little
late.
They
had that.
Yeah, I did too.
They did. They changed it so that it was actually the Director's Cut of the Pax Americana issue.
Oh, okay.
So, but this is now this other one that was going to come out. Nova number 3, Obi-Wan and Anakin. Omega Men number 7.
You didn't even comment on that. You just went...
There'll be a comment in a minute. Ringside number 2, I really like number 1.
Yeah, that was good.
Rocket Raccoon and Groot, because instead of them each having their own book, now let's put them in the same book. Roddy Piper Monster Killer graphic novel.
I love the title of that.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but hey.
Roddy Piper Monster Killer.
Gotcha.
Which, wasn't that called They Live?
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Kick Ass and Chew Bubble Gum.
Yeah.
Spidey number 2, Squadron Supreme
Keith
number
David's
2.
In there? I'm definitely getting it.
So yeah, Squadron Supreme's bi-weekly, yay. Superman Lois and Clark number 3, and then one of my favorites, I love when they do this, Zombie Tramp Christmas Special. The week after Christmas.
Yeah, but nothing really says Christmas like Zombie
right.
Tramp.
I mean,
it's
going to sell just fine. I'm not
yeah,
worried
see,
about that.
I have a feeling that audience will buy it regardless.
Yeah, no, you are 100% correct on that. But it's just one of those, really? No, my comment on Obi-Wan and Anakin, I was having this discussion with Jermaine, my buddy down in Lord Retail down in North Carolina. And I said, I think part of the problem, he asked how Star Wars was selling for me with the movie. And I said, well, I'm not seeing a ton. My problem, I'm getting people coming in wanting stuff tying into the current movie. And everything we have is 25 years old. And even the new stuff we have is 25 years old. So
yeah.
Even the, you know, this Obi-Wan and Anakin, or...
Yeah,
this is pre-Star Wars. So it's like... I get the idea that they want to do Star Wars comics, but the problem is they're always going to be dated, and they're always going to... My problem with something like the current Star Wars book is... You know there's no threat to Luke. You know the threat's not real because you know he still has to end up in Empire.
But I think they had the same problem, though. If let's say they set something that happened immediately following the end of The Force Awakens.
Right.
These comics are considered canon,
right.
Which now writes the writers for the movies in the corners,
right.
And they don't
right.
Do
no,
that.
I get it, but I'm just saying I think it's a problem that it doesn't tie in.
Yeah.
You know, oh, do you have a BB-8 book? No, sorry.
Yeah, it's not
do
like
you
I
have
can
a,
kind
do you have a Rey
that.
Book? No, I don't have
I
anything
gonna,
of that.
I wonder if they're going to allow them to do...
Yeah.
There's so much stuff...
My guess, I'm going to say
so much,
no, because
there's
they
so
have...
so much stuff in the new movie that,
yeah.
that you can
yeah,
do,
my
that
problem
you
is
do stuff with.
This makes them thousands... That makes them billions.
Yeah.
So
that's
they don't want, you know, we'll give the Rey's
like,
origin here. Oh, no, because
well,
we're
book,
using that
books,
in movie 3.
When's the C-3PO book coming out? Cause the,
someday.
They're
it's
gonna,
late.
Yeah.
So it was due out before the movie to explain his red arm.
Yeah. But that's not the only time that, you know, where's the Big Hero 6 book?
Yeah.
They have
yeah.
a movie that has a clear ability
right.
to do a tie-in. They don't do it.
Yeah. But my guess is they don't want to affect the writers of the next.
No,
Big Hero 6
movie.
And
I do get that because.
But it's frustrating
right.
where you know you're mining this our books for content for your movies and then cutting them off at the knees. So that's just when I saw that Obi-Wan one. That's just why. That's why I wanted to not make a comment. But I'm like, okay, this is a you know, 40-year-old
yeah.
story basically.
I get know? It, but you know, here's the thing. They're projecting that The Force Awakens is going to make them $3
billion. Oh, I get it.
They paid $4 billion for the franchise.
Yeah,
they'll make
it.
Their money
yeah.
back. In between this and the game that they made. The,
Battlefront?
Yeah,
or Infinity.
Well, yeah, either one. They've already made their money back, so it's gravy at this point.
Yeah, when I read a Star Wars comic, I still kind of suspend my belief of, you know, the characters are untouchable. Because I think it's just like whenever you read a Superman comic or a Batman comic, or if one of them dies, you know they're going to eventually come back at some point. Now, I know they're not going to kill off any of their
yeah.
main Star Wars characters in any of their comics, but
as long as the stories are enjoyable, it's still okay. But I understand that there's that lack of, hey, what can tie in with the current stuff? And with the new movie, there's a lot of holes, like Dave was saying, that they could fill in with the scripts. But like you said,
there's so much fodder there for
for
prequel stories to. For The Force Awakens, even if it's, where does BB-8 come from? You know, where do all these characters come from?
Maz Kattan or whatever.
But I just get the feeling that
she's
not
going to be a main character. Like, it's like Yoda.
Well, you never know the back. Is this where we're going to segue into the movie talk and say spoilers now?
Okay, spoilers, Maz Kattan. Total spoiler. Sorry about that.
So, spoilers from this point on for Star Wars.
Yes, so thanks for listening.
Happy holiday.
Yes. Yeah, if you're turning us off, well, if you hadn't already turned us off.
That's a podcast.
That's a podcast. Oh, thank you. Good job! Wow!
We don't need Adam.
No.
Like second hand.
Like second nature. He just knew it. Pow! We'll be back here next week. But yeah, definitely have a Merry Christmas. Yeah. And yeah, if you need any last minute things, I should be here till 4-ish.
Do you know what your sales are going to be tomorrow? So
no, I don't. I don't. I don't even know if I'm going to do one.
It's 12th day.
I know.
Gotta do something.
Like what?
I don't know.
What would you, if you were shopping here, what would you want me to do?
Everything I buy is free.
I know what you haven't done.
Slight problem. What?
Like your accessories, like bags, boards.
It's not very Christmassy.
Boxes.
Yeah, that's just not very Christmassy.
I mean, you could do another publisher. You did Valiant DC Marvel. Yeah. Or, I mean, you did Image DC Marvel. Yeah. You could do Valiant.
We'll do a Valiant sale tomorrow.
There you go.
There you go.
Just for you, Josh.
I mean, I already have it all, but check it out. It's good stuff. Jump
on
board.
Dude, it's a flat off 25% off everything Valiant.
Whoa, that's a pretty pretty good sale.
There you go. Okay, so it's been decided. Now on to Star Wars, The Force Awakens. If I was really good, I'd have the music queued up. But I didn't. Dun, 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 dun.
That wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
That was actually another complaint I had with the movie. There was not a big John Williams.
There was
like,
a giant guy, bad guy. He was giant. Snoke. He was huge.
Yeah, who's Darth Plagueis?
He was huge. But what?
That's who he's gonna.
You know who he looks like to me?
He looks like a.
Do you watch Rebels
I bet he's
at all?
Little.
No.
He's a real little guy. He's gonna be like this tall. You can carry him in your pocket.
Do any of you watch Star Wars Rebels?
No.
At all? No. I don't. I watch it.
I've seen some episodes. Yeah.
He looks like the Inquisitor from the season one of Star Wars Rebels.
Okay, I've seen the character.
Okay, you're right. Yeah.
I was honestly disappointed by him. So
it was lame.
It was, yeah, the CGI. When I heard, and Andy Serkis, I'm like, wow, Andy Serkis sat in a chair. Way to go.
Yeah, you could have anyone for that.
Yeah,
it was more like. We don't need some of that skill, but he probably really wants to be in this movie, so we'll throw him a bone.
Well, but
he's no James Bond guy, so.
He was meant to set up the other movies, so, you know, maybe not this episode.
Maybe he'll do cool stuff in the next one?
Yeah, as long as he doesn't, like, drop the cane and then do, you know, monkey flips and, you know.
Maybe he'll be, like, General Grievous or something.
Well.
Four lightsabers and. All crazy.
I did like that part though. Cool, pretty cool.
General Grievous.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
He's badass.
But as usual, they give you a decent bad guy, but don't give you any background on him. So it's just
I just like those are from the Jedi's. He'd killed. He kept their.
Well, yeah, that's their trophies. Yeah,
cool.
I get that.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was cool. Sorry.
Yeah, but there was no big John Williams piece of music there. Like
that was on purpose.
Yeah, I kind of felt the score was kind of.
Yeah, and there are definitely moments where that would have fit, like especially whenever he was addressing all those stormtroopers.
Yes,
yeah. And it showed you how like vast,
or when
their
they
army
first
was.
Landed, or even in the ship as it was, you know, you had the camera shaking piece. You could have had that because in Episode 2, when they first see the formation of the clone army, the Imperial March is in there, but it's subtle. Mm-hmm. And that's what should have taken place here, and they just left it out.
Yeah, I can't say I really even noticed the music.
And that's
noticed
the problem. You should.
The overture in the beginning, that's it.
Are you saying, Pat, you should in a Star Wars movie? You should notice
Yeah, there should be at least one song in there that's like, wow. Because, you know, if you look at everything John Williams has done, there's always been one song that kind of captures the emotion
the
of the scene
movie,
very well. Yeah. And it just wasn't there in this.
Yeah. Even Phantom Menace had it.
Yeah.
With the, I forget what it's called.
The Padme song?
No, when during the fight between Duel of Fates. Yeah, Duel of Fates.
Yeah. The really weird one, though, at the very end, that song is the Emperor's theme from Return of the Jedi in another key. That's all they did. But it's the Emperor. So, and apparently in this one, the one that was for Snoke is the same musical cue that was played when...
Snoke.
But it was the same musical cue that was played when Palpatine was talking to Anakin about Darth Plagueis.
Okay.
So that's another clue as to it. That's who it may end up being. Which
he can resurrect himself.
Right, and that was the whole thing. He was a master of life, so theoretically he could. Look kind of zombified to begin with.
Yeah.
I know they kicked out the EU stuff from canon, but the book, Darth Plagueis, was actually pretty decent. That was one of the few EU books that were pretty good. So, Josh, since you hated it the most, you can...
I didn't hate it. I enjoyed the movie a lot.
I'm trying to see if I can get you jumped.
But I was disappointed...
That's not what you said to Matt Todd.
No,
I scared him off.
I said I liked the movie, but I was disappointed... that it was essentially A New Hope, beat for beat.
It was.
I agree.
Like, the entire structure of the plot was A New Hope.
Yeah.
Even down to, like, subtle things, it was...
Yeah.
That's the point of the movies, though. It's all... I love the movie, and you guys are bringing me down, and that's okay. But that's the point of the movie. It's just variations on a theme. All the time.
But, Dave, it wasn't variations on a theme.
It wasn't a theme.
It was the exact same story.
Scene.
We have a droid that has crucial data that the Empire is trying to get. The droid gets sent off to a desert planet. The Empire chases after it to try and find it. The droid stumbles into the hands of this mysterious, you know, young hero that clearly has a larger destiny. Then a mentor shows up.
The prequels changed the theme, and everybody hated them.
I agree with that.
The prequels... went
so
too off the rails.
I don't know what people want from these movies.
The
what
people
did you want to see?
I want to see something original. Yeah, the prequels went too off the rails. You're absolutely right. And this definitely had to tie in and give you the same feeling
as the
original trilogy. But give me a break. You didn't have to do the exact same movie 30 years in the future.
I think there are similarities in the movie to throw us off the track. I think... we're too focused on it was, you know, BB-8 had these plans, you know, and how it's this beat for New Hope. And I think they're doing that all intentionally to throw you all off, to throw us off as an audience. I don't know. I don't have any support for this. But in my opinion, I think Kylo Ren is really trying to defeat the dark side. I read a theory on this, and I thought that it was pretty well played out where Ren is actually trying to – he's gaining all this power to then use it against the dark side and to wipe out the dark side, because Ren was possibly one of the students.
He was. They said he was.
So, and he has like a twisted mindset where he's trying to find BB-8 and he's trying to get the plans so that the First Order doesn't know where Luke is. So his whole mindset is, I'm going to get the plans. I'm going to protect Luke. I'm going to take out the Empire.
I could believe that.
If he didn't kill his father, I could go with that.
Well, and also,
but he says to his father, will you do anything for me? And he says, sure, son, or whatever. It was something along those lines. And he kills him, and he looked conflicted. He's like, there's always this.
We had a scene where it was just Kylo Ren in a private moment. There was no one else around. He was just talking to himself, saying that he feels the light pulling at him, and that he won't let himself be persuaded by it, and that he wants to embrace the dark side. So if he's not talking to anyone else, just his own thoughts, why would he be saying that he, you know, is trying to shed himself of the light side and purely, you know, fully embrace the dark side?
Well, and that would also – that theory kind of doesn't carry water, because it's clear that he idolizes Darth Vader. But Darth Vader chose the light ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So if – you know, why hold the relic of Vader? Like, okay, Anakin the man, but not Vader the machine.
Mm-hmm. Which Vader didn't choose the light, though. Vader chose his son.
Well, but it's almost like Vader didn't. just, you know, going back to what Obi-Wan said, which was total crap to begin with, but Darth Vader killed Anakin.
Yeah.
Anakin killed Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ceased being Darth Vader when he chose to help his son. He became Anakin. That's how he became one with the Force. So it would make no sense for Kylo Ren to idolize Vader in that way if that was his plan, was to become one with the dark side so I can defeat the dark side. It's a stretch.
Could you see it though in terms of where he's trying to in that moment with him talking to Vader, or him just talking to himself, or having this reflective period where he's trying to pull more light out of himself, in terms of, so that in terms of, like, if his ultimate goal is to take out the Empire or to take out Snoke or whatever it is, you're not going to go in there as the light side and be like, hey, here I am. It's kind of a more of like, help me draw out the light side so that I still have a little bit in me, but mainly I'm going to be dark so that I can, it's all like a sneak attack.
Yeah, I don't see that. There's a lot of... So Anakin in the prequels is a very moody, just, you know, he throws temper tantrums, and that's what Kylo Ren was. He is his grandfather.
I see him more as wanting to be a bad guy, wanting to be Darth Vader, that's but he doesn't have it in him.
That's what I see, too. And so having that Vader helmet is like trying
to... Yeah, where he doesn't need
he's
it.
He's trying to convince himself.
Because he clearly doesn't need it.
Because it's a flip on, you know, Luke struggling with the dark side, and Kylo Ren struggling with the light side.
Yeah. But I found it really weird, not that he took off the helmet to talk to Ren or Rey, but that he didn't have it back on the next time he was out, like... seeing the general guy and talking to Snoke, that he wasn't back in character. All of a sudden, he didn't have it on. I thought that was a really weird choice.
Well, maybe not, though. If it's there for intimidation, it's there to remind
people. But he had it the first time he was talking to him. That's all I'm saying.
No, but he took it off. And it might have just been,
right.
He took it off, he didn't put it back on. He doesn't need to intimidate them anyway.
No, but he had to go out of the room not wearing it.
I get that. It's the public face of Kylo Ren has to have that. Yeah, I get that. And that could be. Yeah.
But now he has the scar.
I
in something with his hip that he kept hitting, which seemed a little weird. Why are you punching your hip?
Yeah,
I found that odd. I was just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Use the Force to seal it up. I mean, you can stop a blaster bolt. I bet you could.
Now, that was something I liked, though, that they did do some different. They did do some different things with the Force.
But when he stopped that blaster bolt, that was a
That was cool.
I feel like that caused a problem, because in that moment, whenever he was even looking, and Poe shoots and he instantly spins around and stops that blaster bolt, in that moment you saw this guy is extremely powerful with the Force. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
So then it doesn't make sense that Finn can go toe-to-toe with him in a fight. Finn loses, but still, he put up a hell of a fight.
He threw her. Did he physically throw her, or did he force her?
In the very end, she beat him.
Because then she stood there and let her midichlorian count go up.
You were holding on to this for dear life.
No, I've just...
But, like, she, an untrained, clearly very Force-sensitive, but an untrained, you know, person... beat his ass.
Well, was he going easy on her? Because he knew that.
Well,
that,
and that's part of his family.
He's probably going a little easier on her than on Finn.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. If you know, and again, going back to the prequels, assuming they follow the normal Sith path, there can only be two: a master and an apprentice. He has to start finding his apprentice if he wants to become the master. There was conflict between him and Snoke of a couple different things. So obviously, you know, that's, he has to find the next one to be his apprentice so he can take out Snoke, or you know, it kind of breaks the cycle. And even if he decides, like, he has to know that when Snoke says, bring her to me, like, that can't bode well for him, because there can only be two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm him, I'm thinking, you know, it could go one of two ways. One, he says, you know what, screw this, and he goes off with his dad and goes back home. Mm-hmm. Or he has to say, okay, I'm going to play along, but my plan is to kill off Snoke and I'm going to become the master and let
her. Which would be interesting because we haven't seen that.
No.
We didn't. Well, we saw Darth Vader kill the Emperor, but that different.
Right, he died. He died into it.
Yeah, it wasn't to the intent to assert.
And follow up with what Colin's saying, that it was Darth Vader that, you know, killed the Emperor, but it was kind of like Luke was there too, so you needed a light and a dark to kind of take out the Emperor. So this is kind of like Kylo Ren's the dark, and then Rey's going to be the light, and together they would take out Snoke.
Yeah. Well, and even there, you know, I know other people. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry,
we just got dazed.
I apologize. Sorry.
You know, I've said this before. Anakin did, in fact, bring balance to the Force, because prior you had two Sith and thousands of Jedi. Yeah. Well, he wiped them out, so there's two and two.
Right.
So, and there kind of remains two. But the other thing that they said, and again, very similar to what Anakin did, Ren was there when Luke's Jedi school got wiped out.
Right.
So, you know, again, the balance thing, you can't have a whole bunch of Jedi if there's only two Sith. He wiped them out. We have balance yet again.
If there are all these Jedi, why did the Sith follow this, stick by this rule of there can only be two?
Because they, and again, it goes back into expanded universe stuff. There were a lot more, and they all fought amongst themselves. So Darth Bane said, and, you know, thousands of years before the Battle of Yavin, decided there's only going to be two. There's going to be the Master, there's going to be the Apprentice. So you'll have two really powerful people, as opposed to a bunch of guys that, yeah, they're good, but they're not great.
But here's the thing, and again, this is, you know, Rebels, the cartoon, but it is in canon.
Yeah.
They have all these Inquisitors who are essentially, I mean, dark Jedis. They have lightsabers, they have force powers, and they're as powerful, if not more powerful, than the Jedis.
Yeah, they did that even in the expanded universe. Mara Jade, who eventually marries Luke Skywalker and has his kid and all that, she started off as a hand of the Emperor. She was like his personal assassin. He had Vader, and Vader knew and didn't like her, kind of because he knew, well, she could end up usurping him. But she wasn't his apprentice, and that might be how they get around that. They're not really their apprentice. They're just kind of warriors that they use, and, you know, they don't...
Yeah, but they're still essentially, you know, Sith or Jedi.
But, you know, it might be, you know, they're taught basic things. They're taught how to force push. They're taught how to use a lightsaber.
The ones, like, when they show the Inquisitors going
up against
the Jedi...
And I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Like they are,
can they do force lightning?
They can do everything. Oh,
okay.
They're very powerful, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, maybe there's just stuff that they don't teach them, and that could be how they get around it. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of kind of different things to go with. Right? I think they've telegraphed that she has to be a Skywalker somewhere down the line, and it might be, but that even falls back into how it's beat for beat A New Hope, because they abandoned, her parents abandoned her, not abandoned, but hid her on a desert planet. And my guess is, you know, Luke is her father. We don't know who the mother is at this point. Maybe she doesn't know who her father is, because the look on Luke's face was he knew who she was, but the look on her face was she didn't know who he was.
Here's your lightsaber, sir.
Yeah, and it was even, she didn't know that all that was real.
Right.
Which, you know, you would think her father would have, you know, said something about it.
Unless he didn't know that she existed.
Well, that could be. Or
so
it could
you're saying
be,
he dumped her on
I don't think
Jakku?
It was her. I think whoever the mother was probably did that. Okay. And
because it worked out so well for me. Here you go. Go to a desert planet.
The mother probably lost the will to live.
Have some blue milk.
That's what I heard, that they dumped her on Jakku, you know, to separate her from her brother Ben.
Yeah. Well, and that was... That I found weird, too, why they would have named him Ben, because...
Oh, you think Ben's her brother. You think that she's...
I don't. Yeah. I think they're related, but I think they're cousins.
Okay.
Because I think, I mean, Han and Leia clearly knew that Ben existed, so they would have known that she existed, too, as their kid.
Well, Leia's the one that's Force-sensitive, not...
But, I mean, she would have remembered giving birth to...
Right, that's
daughter.
What I'm saying. Han, okay, yeah, he could have just had a fling with somebody and they didn't know, but Leia would...
total side note. It was a Facebook meme where it was, you know, people too stupid to live and showing Facebook quotes and things like that. And one of it was, how come they always have paternity tests? Why don't they have maternity tests? So that's just what that flashed back to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's why I don't think they can be brother and sister, but I do think they can be cousins, or, you know, I think they are related. Yeah. I think they have to be.
They'll be besties. With
them. And they, I mean, when they said it was, you know, his father's and then his, and now it's calling to you.
Yeah.
I mean, clear, like, lineage was a very key. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I think that that's important because ultimately it is a story about families.
You even had Obi-Wan saying her name, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. It makes me, I think if they try and tie Finn into being the son of someone that we know, though, it makes it
It would have to be Lando. He's the only black guy in the galaxy that we've met.
Han's wife is black.
I said that before, but that I kind of
have. What are you talking about, man?
In the Star Wars comics.
Yeah,
those don't count.
That was a ruse, though.
But still, they could have got it on.
Clearly, he had relations.
I don't know if it's clearly.
Are those canon, though? What they're producing?
Yeah.
Now?
Anything in the Marvel, the Marvel books are canon. Not the previous Marvel, so you don't have to worry about a.
Jackson?
Yes.
The Green Bunny?
Oh, the Bunny, yeah. Oh, that was horrible.
That would have been great if he'd have showed up at the cantina, which it wasn't a cantina, but that's what
it
was.
Yeah, the cantina, yeah. I
should have put him in there.
I think the only difference between that cantina scene and the one in A New Hope, and I actually liked it better in
Wait,
A New Hope.
There were similarities? What?
Yeah, well, yeah. And this is typical J.J. Abrams. It was very fast-cut editing, whereas in A New Hope, it felt like you were in the bar and you kind of looked around and you got that, wow, check out that guy and that guy. And this one, it wasn't there, which is also strange because Lucas did that intentionally to sell toys.
Right.
And here, it just moved so fast, you didn't get a good look at anybody. Say, oh, that'd make a cool toy.
Going off what you're saying, like, the pacing of the movie felt fast, and even, like, Rey having these powers, and she's flying the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
But was it the Enterprise? I don't know. But, as she has all these, all these fast-paced powers, I was like, whoa, that's going a little bit too quick. But I don't know, did you bring your daughter? Did she see the movie?
No, since it was PG-13, I wanted to see it first without her, to see if it was something, because she's five, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if with maybe kids today where they need it more like quick, fast, instead of like in A New Hope where it was like a little slower,
loose,
in the, you know, learning his skills a little bit longer, where in this one it's like boom, 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 boom.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's just
again,
this generation.
I keep referencing this cartoon because we watch it, but in Rebels, the, you know, Padawan Ezra has been like slower to, you know, master his powers, and so, and that's aimed directly at kids her age, and she enjoys it still. Like, that's her, he's her favorite character.
I think as a character she's a great character, though.
Rey was a great character. Rey was very likable. I liked her character a lot. I think she definitely can hold the movie.
Well,
you want to live in an Atta, that's all.
Well, yeah, but
it didn't make sense that she was that powerful without being trained at all.
That part I agree with. But what I liked about it was, you know, I have a 3-year-old niece. That's a good role model for my niece.
Absolutely.
Especially if Finn tries to grab her hand. Stop grabbing my hand.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But then, you know, at the end she grabbed his hand and ran.
Yeah, she didn't need to completely dominate Kylo Ren to be a good role model, though.
No, I agree with that.
Like, they're not...
But the problem, there wasn't another character that might, and it may have been a case where the writers wrote themselves into a corner.
Wrote it differently, yeah.
Because they had Kylo Ren, and that probably would have been a better place for Han Solo to die. Have it happen there, he sacrifices himself for her and Finn to get away. It has meaning, it's very similar to, and again, it goes back to A New Hope, it's very similar to what Ben Kenobi did.
But then they couldn't stand there and go, no!
I get that, but that would have solved
awesome
that problem.
When she was standing there with her, you know, jacking up her midichlorians, if you'd heard, use the force, Rey.
But it would have been Han Solo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Use the Force, kid.
Oh, I love that. Well, we'll just use the Force. It doesn't work that way.
Well, like,
Harrison Ford is great.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It was funny. I was surprised how much he was in it. I thought it was going to be a blow-off cameo.
Yeah.
But, and then my other worry was that he was just going to, because somebody was saying he made $25 million, and I'm sure it was an offhand comment. Oh, we want you to be in the new Star Wars. Oh, yeah, not going to happen. We'll pay you. How much? Well, how much do you want? $25 million. Okay. So, and then he would have been there just going through it. But no, he sold it. He was fantastic.
They were probably like, we want you to do one movie. We'll kill you off.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Oh,
I completely, that's why he died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was Ben, Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
During Star Wars was like, I don't want to do more of these. You know, can you kill me off in this? Yeah. Okay. So it was symbolic and all, but I think it was also.
That's why in Jedi, he walks up and he's like, I got to sit down. I can't believe I'm doing this again.
Yeah. I'm a ghost, but I need to sit. So I lied to you. What's your problem, kid? Sorry. I apologize.
He's going to be really mad. Harrison Ford's going to be really mad if he turns up as a Force ghost.
we need you just one more scene. I was out.
Well, when you become a Force Ghost,
Special Edition.
When you become a Force Ghost, you become younger again. So they'll just use footage
the actor from the new movie. Yes.
Well, that or they'll just use footage they have from the original trilogy.
Getting back to
Ray's running down the hall. Yeah. That's what his ghost is doing all the time. Whoa!
Turn around, run the other way. That's his ghost.
The whole movie.
Getting back to Rey's powers, though, her being able to, be powerful in the Force, could it be like in the prequels? It seemed like the School of Jedi were a lot younger there. I don't know. I can't remember what movie that was, but they were all kind of like.
But they were being trained.
They were being trained. So I don't know. Was she trained at a younger age?
No. No, because she asked the question.
She has no idea
where they
the
real.
Force is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and it showed that she was dropped off on that planet as, like, a toddler.
Yeah, she looked younger. Okay.
Nobody knows what
like,
the Force
I could
is.
See her having, heightened senses, like how Anakin in Phantom Menace was the only human that could be a pod racer. He only had the reflexes.
Yeah, I was okay with her flying a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, and we see Poe Dameron with, him flying and it possibly having Force sensitivity. But just. For her not even knowing the Force was real and thinking it's all a myth to suddenly, when she's locked up, thinking, I'm going to tell this stormtrooper to just let me go leave the door open.
Because you can almost
and it's going to work.
You know, she would have tried that on the scavenger guy. You know, no, I think that's worth a full portion.
Yeah.
Yes, it's worth a full portion.
It was a funny scene. It was a fun scene, but it didn't make sense for the story.
Did you hear who that stormtrooper is?
Yeah. It's rumors, but he keeps denying it, and J.J. Abrams keeps denying it. Yeah.
I thought J.J. Abrams actually.
Yeah. No, Abrams and Daniel Craig keep denying that he's in the movie at all.
I heard Daniel Craig kept denying. Yeah. He's still denying it. Oh, okay.
And I just feel like it to me, the whole thing, the bigger problem is not so much that Rey's character suffers from suddenly being overpowered, but I have trouble finding Kylo Ren to be a legitimate threat after seeing his interaction with Finn and with Rey. Like Darth Vader through New Hope and Empire Strikes Back was a powerful badass. No one even came close to touching him in a fight. Like in Empire, he was toying with Luke.
I think that's the point, though. Kylo Ren isn't a fool. He's fully fledged Sith. Yeah,
but said that you need to bring
by
him
showing
to be
the beginning how
training.
Powerful he was. You can't show me something that no one we've seen
that
in any of these
me.
Movies have done before, and then show him not being that powerful.
Well,
at the end.
But I think there's a different solution to that. Darth Vader was so powerful. Remember in Empire, the door opens and join me for dinner. Han shoots him. He just puts his hand up and blocks the bolts with his hands.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe he doesn't even have to try to stop him. He'll just block him. He's that powerful, whereas Ren doesn't have that kind of control.
Stopping him in there, it looks cooler, Pat. Mm-hmm. It looks more powerful.
No, I'm
sorry. If you're trying to, get the girl, blocking it versus stopping it midair and then having a conversation while it's frozen there, that's going to get you more.
Well, but the special effects weren't there at that time, and I think that also plays into what they can do too.
No, but
I get that, but even
girl,
like,
because I think anything he would be trying to get has been burned off. So. Just saying.
Even like in cartoons and whatnot, though, we haven't seen stuff like that.
I can't speak.
And I'm just saying, like,
I haven't seen him, so I can't speak for that. But, you know, he takes the blank. He's like, yeah, okay, and. Whereas I don't think Kylo Ren can do that, and that's why he you know, did what he did. And I hated his name, too.
Kylo Ren?
Yeah.
Or Ben?
Both.
You hated Ben? I don't mind Ben.
The problem I had with Ben is Leia wasn't close to Obi-Wan. She only knew that he... Remember what her message was. You served my father during the Clone Wars, which also wasn't true. But you served my father during the Clone Wars. We need your help. She called him Obi-Wan, never called him Ben. The only one who called him Ben was Luke.
But Ben, he was known as Ben on Tatooine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone, yeah, she never... The only other interaction that they had was when he sacrificed himself for them to get out of there.
Yeah, but he also watched over her brother for, you know, 2 decades and mentored her brother and got her brother off the planet.
For 5 minutes?
I'm just saying, he still... He put things into action.
I get that.
And she thought enough of him to send the droid to him in the beginning of A New Hope. So clearly she thought highly.
Right, but she didn't know he was Ben.
Well, yeah, but once she found out that that's what he went by.
I had a problem. Should
have called him Obi or Annie. One of those
two. Well, and that was... That
Juan
was their
Solo.
Also Annie.
That was his name in the... Actually... They have 3 kids in the expanded universe, Jason and Jaina. Jason becomes a Sith, and then Anakin is their youngest. And so that's kind of what I figured his name would be, Anakin. But there was a Ben, but it was Luke's son. So
I would have been mad if they named him Anakin. If suddenly we have this this black clad helmet wearing,
well, like somebody said, he's still viewed as evil because he's like, come on, grandfather, I'm trying. So it's he didn't redeem himself to the world or to the universe.
Well, because I don't think no one knew what took place there other than Luke. I mean, he was the only one that survived.
Yeah,
and it yet brings up another good point. So architects did an estimate, and I think it was like $438 quadrillion to build a Death Star.
Okay.
Which is 13,000 times the global GDP.
How much to build a Death Planet?
Well, no, not even that. So they built 2 Death Stars, and now they have this planet. Someone put up a goddamn rail somewhere? Like, they have the big catwalk, there's no rails anywhere. I guess there's no ocean in the Empire?
I think that catwalk actually did have rails.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, I think it did, because I remember him,
the catwalk didn't.
Yeah.
I remember looking at it going, ooh, that's...
That's unsafe.
Yeah, that's actually... I remember thinking that.
I thought they were low rails, like, this high, but I thought they were there.
No, I remember thinking that, looking at it, going, wow.
Nothing in terms of handicap accessible, either.
Yeah.
No. But when Han said to Chewie, we'll meet up back here, I knew someone was going to die, but then when he walked out on the catwalk, I'm like, okay, well, I know it's going to be him.
Yeah.
One other thing,
as soon as they said that he was Han was the father, I knew Han was gone.
Well, yeah.
One other thing, I don't know if we've all stated, but I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Yeah. I was really disappointed by Captain Phasma.
Yeah.
Just there was nothing there.
And that was a big gap.
But just because I mean, there's figures and all this.
She was underused, and the fact that they had her character lower the shields.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing up as being, like, this really tough...
Yeah, it's like, no, you're going to have to kill me. I'm not doing it. Boom.
She's supposed to have a bigger part in Episode 8 from...
Yeah, that's...
But it just... It was
so
minor.
Why they
but I feel like that one scene diminished her...
Yeah.
Her character.
Because
if you're that much of a hard-ass, you're going to stand your ground. You're not going to lower the shields.
To Finn. You know, some guy who you...
Until somebody backs at you with a force pike and then hits a rocket pack and you fall into Audrey 2.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I hate when that happens.
That's what
I really enjoyed the movie also. I really liked it. And I understand what you're saying, Dave, about how it had to feel like the original movies.
And that's Matt was here earlier.
And I'm fine...
They got to blows about...
I'm fine with it, having the same theme and the same feeling as A New Hope. I just don't like that you could break down, you know, plot point by plot point how it did the exact same thing as A New Hope. That's just what I didn't care for.
Yeah,
right down to them flying through trenches trying to target one specific area on this
Death Star as right about to fire on.
My eyes rolled planets. When they said it's a Death Star. I'm like, oh my god! Like I said before in the show, I'm like, it's like Lex Luthor trying to get land. You know, it's like find something new.
But they were self-aware of it. I mean, Han Solo, well, it's a little bit bigger. You just blow it up again.
Yeah.
And they did.
But yeah.
Yay.
In three
they didn't get awards later, but hey.
In three out of seven movies, they had a Death Star.
Well, yeah. Three out of four, really.
Yeah.
Well, discounting the first ones.
The, what I was, and I did enjoy the movie, but what I was happy about more than anything else was Empire Strikes Back is the first movie I think I ever went to it, but it's certainly the first.
It didn't have a Death Star.
No, that too. But it was certainly the first one I remember going to, and that sense of awe I got. And the prequels didn't have that.
Yeah.
This had it. Now, it's not the same as the first time you see the Star Destroyer fly over you in A New Hope. But it was still that true sense of awe, something that, like, my nephews who have not seen one in a theater will get that. My wife saw Jedi in the theater when she was six, but it's the only one she saw. And she said this, she had that moment for the first time seeing
this. I've said before on here, when I saw Empire when I was like 12 years old or whatever, and I could not believe a movie ended like that. I've never.
It was great.
I mean, just.
It didn't end.
It didn't end.
Well, it ended, but you didn't know. Wait, what happened to Han?
It's like, I gotta
wait. Yeah, there's too many loose ends here.
So, I don't know, I'm kind of hoping the kids have that same feeling at the end of this movie, that it ends with Luke. And, oh, I can't believe the movie ended that way. We're not going to see what's going on with Luke yet.
Yeah, and I hope so, too.
Yeah.
And I'm just uncertain because they can't... The next movie cannot just rehash previous themes and previous plot points.
I don't think it... Yeah.
But this movie didn't, you know, make me feel like they could tell their own story because... They didn't tell their own story.
I think to some extent they are going to rehash certain plot points because you're going to have to train Rey. Okay, fine.
They already showed the ball thing in the Falcon.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Something's going to happen with Kylo Ren. And in the First Order, that might be it. The First Order may be destroyed because that was their base. So whatever whatever ships they had might not be there, but
they have more bases though because he says bring
Hux
here.
Left. Yeah, you're right. General Hux did leave. Snoke's still there, but
I feel like he's at some base or something somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't think I think he's using the First Order, not that he runs the First Order.
They've been established themselves for 30 years.
Yeah,
they have to have more than one base.
Well, or there could be multiple remnants of the Empire, and that's just one of them.
Yeah.
You know, that might be... Because, think about how big the galaxy is. There's, ships out everywhere. Not all the Imperial officers are going to be as weak as the ones we met in, New Hope, Jedi, and Empire. Some of them are going to have ambition and are like, I got my own army. The Emperor's dead. I got my own army now, So I see some of that taking place. Now, granted, it's 30 years later, but that doesn't mean that they can't still be running their own little sector of the universe.
And I would imagine there has to be more resistance bases as well, not just the one, because I find it hard to believe that when they said that was half of their, fleet of ships.
Mm-hmm.
That's their total fleet. That was actually half their fleet, 8 ships or whatever it was, or 18 ships.
Yeah, because the rebellion was certainly bigger than that. Mm-hmm.
And... In this era, there's some form of the Republic there that's backing this resistance.
Not anymore.
It took out some planets. There.
Yeah, which
the Republic was kind of a throwaway in this movie.
Mm-hmm. It was, but I think that was okay.
Before they talked about trade federations. Darn it, totally missed out on
tariffs and trade routes.
Yeah, I almost wish though
there was no racist characters in that scene.
I wish this movie did. Explain a little bit more of the current, situation and how what role the Republic is playing and why the resistance is being backed by them, why it's not just the Republic against the First Order, why the Republic is secretly backing the resistance against the First Order.
Well, and Leia as a general, I have a bit of a problem with because
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, no, in the original trilogy, she wasn't a soldier. not that she didn't get involved, but she wasn't. She was a politician.
Yeah, she was very involved with the planning.
She
and everything.
Was. Planning, not execution.
I have less of a problem with her being a general than I do with Han Solo and Lando Calrissian being generals.
I don't have a problem with Lando being a general. He bought his way in.
Oh, yeah. Here's a case of Colt 45. Could be a general.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he could smooth talk his way out of anything and into anything. So him I didn't have a problem. But Han Solo had been frozen in carbon. And he was a commander. It was kind of like, you know, he got promoted while he was in carbonite. Okay, well, now he's a general. Well, how'd that happen?
The other officers were so bad that by doing nothing, he was actually better.
Yeah. He was pretty bad, but he didn't get any bases blown up. Okay, you can be a general.
Who do you think Snook is?
Darth Plagueis.
Okay. I hear some people saying they think it's the Emperor.
Is he a real little guy?
No.
Okay. So I get the feeling this guy is going
to
be...
It's going to be...
You need to be like a Wizard of Oz kind of thing?
Yeah. Because he's so big. Why would you need to be...
He has a Napoleon complex. Yeah. He's like, I got to be really big. Yeah.
Living on Dagobah in a cave.
Oh, you think it's Yoda?
No. He moved into Yoda's place.
He was
place.
Living in the cave. Him and Yoda were neighbors.
Mm.
So, overall, we liked it. Except for Josh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay.
Nah, I just, it doesn't sound like it.
No, I feel like it... It's the same problem I have with J.J. Abrams' Star Trek Into Darkness. Too much came directly from the source material.
From the old, yeah.
You can have the same feeling of the source material and the same tone, but tell your own story. You don't have to bring the exact same thing. Like in Into Darkness, whenever they got the scene where one of them had to go into the chamber,
yeah,
and one of them ends up dying, but it was reversed where now Kirk's in there and Spock's outside, and even Spock yells, "Khan!" It ruined the entire movie for me. Mm. And there was too many things like that. And when I was sitting in this movie, it was the same thing. I'm feeling like I'm enjoying this movie, but this exact same thing happened in New Hope. This exact same thing happened. And you keep going through the entire movie saying that, and it's like you could have given us a movie that had the same feeling and same tone without beat by beat giving us the same thing. Even it's a desert planet in the beginning, but we're not going to call it Tatooine. We'll call it Jakku, but it's still like the exact same feeling as Tatooine. It just give us a different planet or something.
Make it a nice planet.
Just some
but not
things
hot.
Seemed a bit convenient.
Will you take your daughter to it? You think? I mean,
I think we might go next week. We've been watching the original movies, and we're doing it out of order. So we watched New Hope, Empire, and Phantom Menace so far. Mm-hmm. So if we can get through the
Godfather cut.
I'm doing machete order, but I'm keeping Phantom Menace in there.
Okay.
So that she would like the little kid.
Does anything scare her at all in any of the movies?
She hasn't been scared, but like
she hasn't seen
with
Revenge
Empire,
of the Sith yet.
That one's dark. With Empire, whenever Vader revealed himself to be his father.
Yeah.
She didn't believe it at first. And I was
no, that's not possible.
There's YouTube videos, you know, just of clips of kids watching the movie, you know, watching Empire, and when that comes, and they just look like, "Daddy, is that true? You know, is he lying?"
Yeah, and so she's like,
it's really
interesting. She's like, "He's not his father." I was like, "No, he really is. He's not lying." Yeah,
interesting.
She's like, "Why would he cut off his son's hand?" And so it wasn't she wasn't scared, but she just, you know,
he's an abusive father.
Like,
what do you
but want? Now, like her thing is, she's like, I really want to see how Anakin becomes Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. So do I, because that wasn't what they showed us.
So if we can get through, because she's off until after New Year's, and I'm off until after New Year's. So if we can get through the next three movies, because I thought it might be a bit violent for her. It wasn't as bad as I heard that it was.
Yeah.
We may go see it during matinee this week.
I was just wondering, like, from her point of view, seeing it, maybe without seeing the other ones, but if you're going to show her the other ones, because it's a lot of fanfare, it's a lot of, oh, yeah, this is repetitious, but for, like, maybe a younger generation or newer generation that hasn't seen the other ones.
She's five, though. She's not going to, like, sit there and say, oh, well, this was in that, and this was in that, and this was in that. She's not going to be as anal about it as
And if she does, then we'll have her on the podcast. Yeah.
Her midichlorian count is rising.
Well, hopefully she'll want to dress up as Rey for Halloween next
Yeah.
You know, I just character. About her dress, it was just funny. Like, on the planet, I had no problem, like, you know, where it was the arm ramps, but then nothing on the shoulder type thing. And it was fine. Okay, that's her outfit. But then when she's on at the Rebel base and she's wearing, like, the winter outfit, and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was just on the arms and not on the, you know, there was a gap on the shoulder and up, but it was like a gray wool. I was just like, put on a, you know, jacket. What? It struck me as really odd.
She just beat up Kylo Ren. She's not going to be harmed by the cold. Yeah. Well, chilly,
that's fine. No,
chilly
but
climate.
It was just the fact that really you have a different version, you know, because it had to be new. It's not like she took any clothes with her when they left. So it just struck me as really odd. It was like basically an over-covering of the exact same outfit she had. No, I know.
Yeah.
But it was just, I found it funny.
She grabbed something from the chest and the bar.
Basement. Yeah,
the bar. Well, that was a different planet. So, I mean, just that it was the exact same dress, Jakku dress, but
maybe Han had it on the Falcon from a previous encounter.
Rendezvous.
Yeah. But that was a neat moment where that one's a junk, you know, that one's junk. Well, we'll take the junk, and then when you realize what it is, it was just like, oh. But and I enjoyed when he was on the guns. I really wanted him to scream, "You know, nice shooting, kid!" You know, yeah. I really wanted that line to get out there. And when the gun got jammed, I'm like, "Well, just run to the other one. You know, we know there's another one. Just go up."
Yeah. Well, why would you go to the one underneath? Because most of the time. They were, you know, but it was at just, 6 o'clock high. He wouldn't have been able to hit them anyway.
But it's like you're referencing it, so we know. You know, we saw the first. We know there's two sets of guns.
Yeah,
so,
and you're right. And he was a janitor.
Yeah,
yeah, that was hilarious.
Is there a trash chute here?
Now those I enjoy, those little things. But yeah, like,
stormtroopers backing away when Kylo Ren was throwing a hissy fit.
That was great.
I like that one too.
Yeah, like those moments were fun.
Yeah. That was a hissy. And when the guy's just standing there, he's, I don't want to be the one to tell you this.
I have to mention R2 also. I thought that fit into his character being at low power after he loses his master.
That's
but
another
why,
reason why I think
what caused
Rey,
him to suddenly...
Because I think that's
when
why...
When they showed the map.
No, I think that's why Rey is a Skywalker, because when she landed, that's when he reactivated.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
And I could buy that. I could buy that. But, like, people were saying, well, he activated because BB-8 said, hey, I have part of this map. BB-8 said that to him, like,
three days
prior, and he just ignored him.
Yeah.
But BB-8 giving the thumbs up, that was
good. That was good, too, yeah. Well, it was the whole thing. He kind of looked and
went,
like, it had personality, which was pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
One thing, what did you guys think about C-3PO? Did he look weird?
Yeah, he looked off.
I was
it
also
like he was wearing like a tin, like the tin ceiling.
Yeah.
But I was glad he was only in it for like 2 minutes.
The color was like weird,
and especially when come along, BB-8. He said it right when he first met him. I'm like, how the hell did you know?
You don't know him.
Well, no, because BB-8 was
BB-8. Don't go with strangers.
Well, no,
red arm.
But he's not.
He was built by Darth Vader.
But he's not a stranger. BB-8 was part of the Rebels, so he was with them.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron was with them,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. But it just seemed a little... one question I had was when Finn first gets the lightsaber and he's fighting the Stormtrooper, what the heck does a Stormtrooper have that can fend off a lightsaber? I thought they were fairly...
That crazy electrical baton.
Yeah. That, you know, because slicing through, you know...
my guess is that was developed after...
So all of a sudden this... thing that this guy just happens to have can best a lightsaber? I found that very odd.
Yeah, and there's... My thought is, okay, after Jedi, they said, okay, well, these Jedi are going to be threats. Maybe we need weapons that can stop a lightsaber. But I don't know where they would have gotten a lightsaber from in order to test it.
Yeah, and that just seemed odd.
If the only Jedi is still 30 years later that you know of is Luke Skywalker, and you go to this fight on this planet, what would make you think... We better bring the lightsaber gear.
Yeah.
Just in
case. Yeah, so that part seems...
And I'm
going to
carry around this giant electric baton and just have it, like, hanging from behind me in case I run into someone with a lightsaber.
Yeah. My other question was, when they were escaping with Rey and they retreating, where were the X-Wings as they were retreating?
They're probably chasing off the remnants of the TIE
fighters. It just seemed to me like you'd send... You know, they know what his ship looks like. You'd think they would have sent a thing after Kylo Ren's ship.
Yeah.
Just little things when you're sitting, especially when you see it a second time, because I saw the first half twice. When you're seeing it the second, you're kind of looking at what my son was so mad. It was so funny because my on Saturday, my wife took the Girl Scouts out to something, so he had to sit here during the day. And the whole reason I wanted to go Friday is I knew Saturday everybody would be coming in asking me if I saw it. So he's sitting in that chair and all day long. It's like, so did you see Star Wars? Well, only the first half. He's like, Dad, stop. You the whole day. I'm just saying it all day. Well, I saw the first half because he got sick. So as we're going Monday, I called Dallion, or Dallion called me about something, and I'm like, oh, and by the way, we're going to see Star Wars. Oh, I thought you saw it Friday. And he's sitting in the car next to me. Well, we did see it Friday, but I always... And he's sitting in the car going, jeez, let it go! That was fun. I enjoyed that. I'll never let him forget that.
Remember the time...
Do we have to see this one... Do we have to see the second one 1.5 times? Stop. By that point, he'll be 14 and telling me to shut up. So.
One question I have is, I don't know if you guys noticed or not, or maybe I'm reading it too much into it, is at the end... Was Luke Skywalker standing in front of a grave? Did you guys get that?
I thought he was just looking out over the ocean.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I noticed that.
Yeah, because that was supposed to, wasn't that the Jedi Temple?
Yeah.
Or that's what he was supposedly going looking for.
Yeah.
There are a lot of damn steps on that, too.
Yeah.
I got Chewie's like, I'll wait here.
Yeah.
Okay, and one question. How did the Millennium Falcon land on water? Because there certainly didn't seem to be anywhere.
No, there was land.
Not much. It was like a little outcropping.
No, I
thought that there was
no plan.
It
was like real.
Oh, okay, because as they were coming up, I'm like, there's nowhere to land.
That brings up another point. So when they get back to the Rebel base, Han's dead, Leia's there to meet him. Chewie walks right past her and goes off and congratulates Poe and... You know, Rey is the one that gives her a hug.
And that was the first time Rey met Leia.
Yeah, like that seemed a little off.
Yeah.
Not so much.
But she knew who she was or of her.
That's not the thing I had the problem. I had the problem with why didn't Chewbacca do that? Like, maybe it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't snub me on the metal, bitch.
Or maybe he was pissed.
But he killed Leia.
No, he gave her a hug when he did it at the beginning when he first saw her, not when Han died. And those two were the two closest
to Han. But that was awesome as they were talking and C-3PO steps in interrupting. That was, you know, again, another nod back. I wish there were more nod backs like that as opposed to the
direct
overt plot point ones.
Exactly. I
will say Chewbacca was great.
Yeah.
Like Chewbacca did a great job of conveying whatever emotion.
He's trying to kill me for the 7th time.
Overall the acting was superb, I think, compared to the prequels where it felt
like the moment whenever Han got killed and Chewie just lost it. Yeah. Like it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I liked Han with the bowcaster. Let me see that.
Yeah, that was like, I like that.
I have to say. Okay,
and now we know all about the bowcaster.
That's right,
back to Wookiee physiology.
Yes.
But
in
that, this doesn't jive with the movie, with Han using the bowcaster, but in this Force Awakens visual dictionary, it says that you have to have the strength of a Wookiee to be able to operate it.
Maybe Han has the strength of a Wookiee. He's been hanging out with one long enough.
I guess he does.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He's got, I didn't realize Wookiee how big it was until Han picked it up.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other thing. You know, they had to kill Han off because you can put anyone in a Chewbacca costume. Harrison Ford's starting to look a little rough. He's been, in plane crashes and getting his foot crushed by the...
Yeah, but I think it works for that character, though.
To some extent, I do too, but he's 72.
You know, how many times have I ever screwed you?
Twice. What was the second time?
I love Chewbacca going. Yeah. Like, what was the second time? Yeah, no, but just the little things like that were fun.
So good.
Yeah. And even Finn going, yeah, I'm with the Resistance. This is what we look like. Well, not all of us. And then I'm not with the Resistance. I enjoyed the humor instead of making it so. Mm-hmm.
Mods Kanata having the hots for Chewbacca.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Without going to stupid humor like they did with Jar Jar.
Yeah. No, it was enjoyable.
Yeah,
it's Lawrence Kasdan all over it.
Well, and I thought the CGI was a lot better on this too. Like when you look at the Phantom Menace, the CGI looked horrible. It was hit and miss in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. This was good.
Well, the fact that the CGI was just there to kind of help out the practical effects a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the practical effects looked phenomenal. Like, BB-8 looked
fantastic. Oh,
yeah.
So that's Star Wars.
So thumbs up.
So is there anything about you didn't like, Dave? The movie?
You know what I didn't like? I'll give you one criticism. I didn't like that the...
It ended.
Yeah, well, that only took 4 hours. I could have stayed there for another couple hours.
Yeah.
But my one criticism would be that the planets, the names of the new planets weren't easy to pronounce, or I wasn't sure what they were.
The only one I can remember is Jakku. I don't know what the other ones are called.
Mm. Well, almost like the Iowan system or something. Iowans,
I forget what I had. I can't even remember what the planet. I knew the planet where Maz Kanata was, but in the originals, you know, Hoth and Dagobah,
Tatooine,
even Naboo,
yeah,
are easy to remember, but
Alderaan, too soon.
So there's my one criticism.
Fair enough.
Okay, thanks.
Okay,
that's the podcast.
There you go. Adam requested that.
Did Dave do it?
Dave say it.
Okay.
Being he's Santa, and we're 2 days before Christmas.
That's true. So. Actually, the way, right, are we 1 day now?
Yeah. Well, no, not quite. Not quite. It's only 11:04. I got the dreaded text of get milk. I'm like, and Sunoco just closed. Crap. I want to have to walk all the way through Giant Eagle.
Just bring home a cherry Coke instead. She'll be happy.
No.
What?
She's actually going out to a movie. She said she should be home around 2.
So. Tell her to pick up milk.
She's going out with a friend.
Tell her to pick up milk.
Sisters would be my guess.
It's open. Giant Eagle's open 24 hours.
Trying to be the nice husband. No, hon. I'll take care of it.
I always look at if you're going out, you're not broke. You can do it.
He can't tell her no when he's been running his foot up another man's leg.
That's true.
The first was completely accidental. The second, like the second was.
But he was intrigued, so he had to try it a second time.
How interested you are.
Like, I heard you complain, but it wasn't a no.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dan's last podcast.
I don't know what's going on.
You guys are weird.
So we'll talk at you next week. Merry Christmas, everybody.